The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Tell you what, let's talk to Line 1 while I send an email to my friend in Japan. Good evening, Line 1, you're on the wireless.
Hello. Right, Ian, I'm sorry about that.
That made me want to puke.
Unfortunately, I haven't got the lappy on, but I've got a song ready, yeah?
Okay, here we go.
Here it goes. I want some girls.
Sorry, stop. Could you cough or have a drink of water or something? Because you are rolling grollies there and it makes me want to chunder.
Well, I'm a bit cold.
Everyone's a critic, Andre.
I mean,
Andre.
Seriously.
People said the same thing when Bob Dylan went electric.
No, sorry, I can't help that. I've got a little bit of a sore larynx on me at the moment.
Can you cough? Just clear a little bit.
Oh! Okay. All right, here we go then. I want some girl to wreck it for me. A big strong girl to wreck it for me. And if she's ugly, I don't mind. She has a pump and I want to grind. Let her wreck it for me. My dick is in a terrible state.
Okay, what did he say? My dick is in a terrible
state, which is probably true.
Imagine the state of his. It must be rancid. It's like a dairy farm down there. Let's go to line two. Good evening, line two.
You're right, Ian.
I'm absolutely great, yes.
So, Ian, can you please do, like, one of your prank calls?
Oh, God.
I don't do prank calls.
Yeah, well, I went on YouTube once and searched your name, basically. And there's, like, many of your prank calls, and they're, like, quite chucklesome.
Why don't you go back there and enjoy a few more?
I don't do prank calls.
Because I look at them all. I really want you to do a live prank call. I beg you, please.
Well, name one prank call I've done.
The Barclays one, the Barclays scammers.
That wasn't a prank call. That was scammers who tried to rip me off and I called them out. That wasn't a prank. That was serious. That was serious, hard-hitting journalism.
Yeah, but you're really funny in that call.
I'm a funny guy. I'm one of the funniest. Who fucking...
Please, can you do, like, a prank call or something? Oh, you prank call talks for... That's the one you did. That's the one I remember.
Okay, thanks. I'm not... We can tell you now, caller, I will not be doing any prank calls ever again. Thanks very much for your call. Now, just bear with me. I'm going to do a wicked prank call. Hang on, I'm going to phone him back. And I'm going to prank him.
Right. Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, hi there. This is the police from Texas. I believe you called us. This is the police from Texas. I believe you called us. What's the problem, sir? What's the problem, sir? Is there a problem? You're wasting police. You're wasting very precious. You're wasting very precious police time. What the hell is going on here?
So I just wanted to...
Who the hell is this? Who the hell is this piece of trash? You're wasting police time. We're trying to hunt down the son of Osama bin Laden, and you're wasting our time. You're a goddamn piece of trash. You're wasting police time again. I'm going to put a cap up your ass.
And that's how you do a prank call. That's how you do it. Simple as. Here's the thing, right? And he won't be listening. He has genuinely just given us tacit permission to properly prank call him. So when I get back from holiday, we're going to come in before the show and we're going to prank Mo and record it because he's given us permission. He's asked for a prank call. This is what I did when I was at LBC. Sheila from Cock Foster's found out, you should do prank calls, Ian. You should do prank calls. Don't do prank calls, they're lazy. You should do prank calls. I said, I'm not going to do it. I'd never fall for one. The next day I phoned her up and told her I was the police and that she'd been caught shoplifting and that we wanted her to come in, and she shit herself. So we'll get Mo at some point. We'll do a prank call.
Mo just unleashed the whirlwind.
In it. Good evening, Line 1. You're on the wireless.
Hello,
Line 1. I'm looking, while I'm talking, I'm not completely focused. I am looking at night vision deserves a quiet light. I'm looking at night vision goggles.
Why?
Because I want to go in the woods at night and see. But they're all quite, they're quite expensive.
No, what you should do is get a Jason mask.
Don't scare my little babies. No, don't scare my little babies.
Just you don't have to wear it. Just put it on their bed at night.
See, there's all these things, right? There's all these things. That they're like the night vision goggles are like really, they're like 150, 200 quid. But then there's these things called SpyX night mission goggles. And what they are, they're like glasses that have like a little light coming off the front. So, so you got like little lights coming off the front. And I'm really, really tempted to get... Let me look at the video for these goggles. Hang on. Here we go.
It's up to 15 metres away.
15 metres.
Spy X Power Scope. Spy on your enemies, day or night.
Your enemies.
Spy X Night Vision Goggles.
There we go.
See in the dark up to 8 metres away. Spy X Wrist Cockies. Talk with other spies over 3K away. Spy X. Spy like a pro. Anywhere, anytime. Spy X, roll-in spy bug, power scope, night vision goggles, and wrist huggies, each sold separately.
I'm not convinced that they're going to do. I might just buy. We've got walkie-talkies already, so I might just buy a torch.
Yeah.
Anyway, go on. Sorry. Yes.
How are you supposed to spy on someone if they've got lights on them? I mean,
you're right.
It's a little bit of a giveaway.
It's a little bit funny. But yeah. In that video, I have to say, it was three young men in their, like, 13, 14, who seemed to be spying on a girl who was about 16 who was making popcorn. And then when they jumped out to reveal their spying, she threw the popcorn in the air.
Oh.
So I'm not...
They're training them early, then.
I don't know exactly what their mission was. But if it was to make a girl throw popcorn in the air, they succeeded. All three of them.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, what can we do for you, line one?
I just phoned up to say hello. And, you were talking about what women like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not to be confused with the Oscar-winning movie What Women Want,
yeah,
starring Mel Gibson, which is a great movie. And if any men really want to understand women in this hashtag Me Too era, I would suggest watching What Women Want, because it really does help you get inside the minds of ladies.
If I read that film right, what women wanted was for him to steal all their ideas and then use their own mind to kind of stalk them.
Yeah, yeah, they wanted an anti-Semite to bully them slightly.
But he didn't call her sugar tits, so maybe he's...
He's improved.
He's improved.
He's learning. He's learning. Okay, so go on. Yeah, go on.
Well, no, I was just thinking, well, I'm bi, so I can go, I like a bit of both.
Yes.
But with men,
yes,
I quite like a hairline on a man. I have a knack.
What's a hairline?
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
What do you mean, trouser beard?
No, their hairline, their actual hairline.
I don't know what that means.
Forehead or neck?
Or your hairline, your forehead. Like, the hairline, your hairline.
I don't know what that means.
Nice hairline.
What do you mean?
You know what a hairline is?
No, I don't. That's why I keep saying I don't know what you mean, because I don't know what you mean. What is a hairline?
The way your hair, the shape of your hair on your head.
Right.
I don't know what this means.
Well, where your skin turns into hair.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what? The hairline, that's not a word.
Like the difference between your forehead and your actual hair.
Hairline isn't a word.
Yeah, it is.
It is, of course it's a word.
Okay, I don't believe you.
Look it up. And I have a knack for knowing if a bloke is good looking by the back of his head.
Okay, that's a skill.
Yeah, that is a skill, and it's not failed me.
The back of the hair at the back of my neck now meets the hair at the top of my back. It's just one line from the top of my head all the way down right to my arse crack.
My granddad used to be like that, and I remember vividly one.
And
of my
I don't
early,
care. I don't care anymore.
One of my early memories was my mum shaving my granddad's neck, so shaving his hairline in.
They do that. Do you mean hairline at the back or the front?
No, the front. You know, like some people have like a widow's peak and things like that.
I like a widow's peak, but
that's what a hairline is.
Okay, all right. Yeah, well, We're in. I like the hairline of men that have got really expensive wigs. Because you can only tell if you're getting close. And I like seeing the fake hair and the tiny little bit of matting underneath that is affixed.
We were fascinated by Ted Danson for a long
time. Ted Danson's hair is a work of art.
Yeah, what is that about?
Well, I think I've worked it out.
You think it's long at the front?
Yeah, I think he's got long at the front and he sweeps it. Oh, he's got like some kind of the main sort of bulk of the hair piece is in the middle and he sort of combs his ordinary hair around it.
Right.
So he's got this lovely big white bouffant and it looks luxuriant and thick, but actually what you've just got is a really long fringe and sides.
Yeah.
Oh, he's done a good job, though. Oh. Fair play.
It's a good job. It looks great.
So, hairline.
Okay, so hairline. Oh, and the other one.
Yes.
Neck to jaw ratio.
What do you mean?
That isn't a
thing. Like, for example, Paul Newman.
Yeah. Oh, so you like his chin to stick to jut out?
If you look at him from the side, his neck to jaw ratio is very attractive. It's quite Caesar-like.
Okay. I'm getting that.
That makes sense.
It makes absolutely no sense at all, Sally, but thank you very much for your call. It's appreciated, in as much as it filled in some time. So thank you for that, you deviant. Let's go. Hey, it's Nigel in Maidstone.
Hey.
Hello.
Hello, Nigel.
Oh, hi, Ian. Hi, Catherine.
Hiya.
What you got for us, Nigel?
I just woken up. Catherine asked me to ring the show.
It's the year 2032. You've been asleep for 13 years.
Imagine.
13 years, Nigel.
I've just done the washing up and cleaned the saucepan very quickly before I rang the show.
Never clean a saucepan quickly. It's worth taking time over.
Never cleaned it quicker.
It's worth taking time over to get a nice clean saucepan.
I went to Helen Grant's earlier.
Yep, the MP.
And, yes, at the place. I've got an appointment on Monday to see someone from Croft to do with helping people with bills and finances on Monday, yeah.
Great. Well, that's great. It sounds like things are starting to move forward a little bit.
Yeah.
You don't sound convinced.
I'm so tired all the time. I'm not taking any more tablets. I just feel drained all the time.
Nigel, you've got to speak to your doctor about the tablets. You can't just stop taking. You can't keep stopping and starting or stopping. You've got to follow doctor's instructions.
No, I'm taking the same amount. No, it's just I feel a lot tireder for some reason.
Okay.
And I just curled up on the bed. I just seem to want to keep sleeping all the time.
Well, then don't fight it, man. Embrace it. Go to sleep. Yeah. Your body is telling you need.
I'm not really asleep. I feel tired, but I'm not really asleep properly, you know.
Well, you can rest, because your body is telling you that you've been under a lot of stress, and you're exhausted and you need a rest.
I've got to go and see a man tomorrow at 80 to try and borrow some money, because I haven't got any money till Wednesday. And there's things I want. Thank you for the food, of course, but there's things I need to buy.
Okay, hang on a second. Who are you going? Nigel, who are you going to see about borrowing money from?
A friend of mine. It's just a friend. He has been a friend for a long time.
What's his job? Has he got a job?
No, he's retired. He's 80. He's retired.
Have you borrowed money from him before?
Yes, from his wife. Yes.
Okay. And then you pay it back?
No, they didn't want it back.
Okay. Well, what do you need to buy that you haven't got? Because I bet you don't need it.
Well, I can't get anything to shave. But I need to shave. I don't want to go a bit. And I need to get Imodium. I have Imodium every day, which is a couple of pounds a day. And I need to get a prescription on Monday, which I can't get. You have to pay for some prescriptions because it's private.
Well, you're going to have a work. As long as you know, just you need
but
to...
All I need is about 20 quid to go on with till Wednesday, about £20.
Okay, well, go and have a word with your friend and see what he says.
I've asked various people today, but I just couldn't get any money.
No, well, go and speak to your friend.
That's what I'm so fed up about.
Yeah, I know. Well, hopefully, when you speak to this person on Monday, hopefully they're going to be able to start going through your bills and your benefits and maybe help point you in the direction of saving a bit of money.
I owe the bank money because of they should have got. I went to the bank and they said that the council should have got permission.
Okay.
To
well,
take
listen,
money
Nigel,
out the
Nigel,
bank.
Nigel, you need to speak to this person on Monday, okay? Because there's nothing we can do now.
Well, I'm supposed to sign something before
Nigel,
they take the money
Nigel,
out the bank.
You need Nigel, there's nothing we can do about it now. So you need Nigel, please listen, mate. There's nothing we can do about it now. So you need to speak to you need to tell all of this to the person that you meet on Monday, okay?
It's Mother's Day Sunday, and I wanted to buy her some flowers.
Okay, well, you might not be able to. Yeah, I know it's sad, but you've got to be realistic, okay?
Well, so... I did have another friend that promised me some money and he hasn't turned up.
Okay, well, maybe, well, listen, times are tough for everybody. Maybe they haven't got the money. You can't.
Nobody seems to have any money, do they?
No, they don't. No one has any money these days. You can't.
Everyone I speak to doesn't seem to have any money.
Yeah, you can't keep being reliant on other people, so you need to speak to this person on Monday and tell them everything, and hopefully they will be able to help sort things out. Okay, all right?
Okay.
All right, Nigel. Have a good weekend, mate.
Yes, bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. I don't know. This is Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee. On air and off the leash. On Talk Radio.
0344 499 1000. Call straight to air until 1 o'clock when Martin Kellner comes in. Good evening, line one, you're on the wireless.
Michael Rosen writes, in Paris... I cannot understand
a word you're saying.
Can you hear me now?
It's really muffled. Why is everyone...
Is it any better now?
Why is everyone unable to use telephones anymore? What is wrong? Everyone's muffled. Everyone's talking like that, I can't hear them.
Is the enunciation better now?
It's not the enunciation, because that's not a thing. It's the muffledness of the phone call. Hello? They've gone. Thank God, because it was pointless.
Phone Ian. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, is that Ian?
Yes, it's Ian. Is that a muffled drunk man?
It's Dougie. A couple of years ago, you like dissed me off. I apologise. Going through the same shit as what you and Nigel were going through. Just being put on different drugs from like a psycho, whatever you call them, antidepressants.
Right.
Pregabalin, they put me on. Right. Don't know if you know about them.
I'm not a pharmacist or a doctor, so I don't know what specific drugs are and what they do, I'm afraid. I only know what the drugs I take.
I'm in the same bubble, bud. I am in the same bubble.
I don't know what that means. What bubble is that?
Depression.
Okay, right.
Anxiety, depression, feel like ending it all. Last time I spoke to you, you're talking about taking your kids out, yeah? My youngest, I take him fishing. I go carp fishing now.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I under psychiatrist, doctor, change me tablets.
Yes.
Search for lean or something.
Right, okay. Like I said, I'm not a pharmacist, so, yeah.
No, I know, but it took me off for that and they put me on...
Okay, is it working or not?
To be honest, bud, well, you're not me, bud, but honest, Ian, I feel different.
Right, but is it working or not?
I don't know. What does normal feel like?
I didn't ask if it was normal. I asked if they were working.
It feels better than what I was on.
Then there you go. Then it's doing something. Are you mixing it with street drugs?
Here we go.
Here we go. What do you take? Cocaine?
Diazepam? No. I can't afford that shit, mate. That's rich man's
stuff.
What's
your language? You shut up and watch your language. One more swearing, you're off. So what are you taking?
Diazepam.
Right, and you're buying that off the street, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, then that's why you feel lousy, mate. What else are you taking?
Me prescription drugs.
What?
Just me prescription drugs.
Okay, well, listen. How do you think mixing street drugs with your prescription drugs is gonna work? It ain't gonna work. So, listen. If you want to get well, you've got to put some effort in and do some work. And one of the things you've got to do is stop taking street drugs.
Yeah, but Ian.
No. There's no yeah, but. You just got to stop taking street drugs. And it took me years to get that. I was on all kinds of antidepressants.
I know.
Will you shut up? I was on all kinds of antidepressants and keeping it quiet from my doctor and my psych that I was also smoking loads of weed, doing loads of pills and taking loads of cocaine. And then when I said that, a light went off and the doctors went, well, do you think maybe there might be a connection between you being depressed and you doing cocaine and ecstasy and weed? And I went, no. And for years I went, no. And then I realised that there probably was.
I know. Right, don't shout at me. Right, you got
well, don't
two
give
children.
Me, don't, give me, don't give me a butt, then. Just don't give me a butt. I won't shout at you if you don't give me a butt. You need to stop taking the diazepam.
Yeah, but
there's
last
a butt.
Time I spoke to you...
There's a butt. There's
gave
a butt.
Me...
There's your butt. You're phoning up to tell
you,
me...
You need to look after your kids.
Yeah, I know I need to look after my kids. That's what I'm doing.
And you are. That's, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Here's the thing, Stuggy. I can't talk to anyone tonight who's drunk or stoned. I can't do it because it's too frustrating for me.
I'm not drunk or not stoned.
So why are you slurring your words?
Because I have diazepes.
Exactly. So you're stoned. So I can't talk to you, man, because you're slurring your words. You're not listening to anything I'm saying, and nothing's going in. I'm wasting my breath talking to you, man.
I am listening, Ian.
What have I said?
Listening.
What have I said?
You said I'm f***ed up.
Thanks very much for your call, because that's not what I said at all. Didn't say you were effed up. I'm getting to the conclusion, when people are that wasted, it's just pointless. It's just a waste of time. It's just a waste of time, because he's not listening. He's high as a kite. Or the downer, diazepam is a downer, I think, isn't it? It's a diazepam, so it's going to make you drowsy and sleepy. So none of the excellent advice I'm giving is going to help. So there's no point in me giving my excellent advice. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. And also, if you're going to drop two F-bombs, I missed the first one, but I got the second one. If you're going to do two F-bombs, then I can't help. And you're only doing two F-bombs because you're...
Please, kid. Please, don't shout at me then.
Yes?
Hello, Ian?
Yes?
That's Basil.
Hello, Basil.
Hello, Ian.
Long time no speak.
Yes.
I liked your picture earlier on of you with the Frank Sidebottom record. Thank you for the support.
Oh, good. I love Frank.
Have you seen the film yet?
No, not yet. I've not even played the record yet. But
thank you for the support, man. That's great. It's appreciated.
I used to chat with Frank years ago on MySpace.
Okay, you know that they've like last week they accidentally deleted nearly all of the first 15 years of MySpace, so everything that was on there is gone.
I've not been on there for a year. I'm not sure if I've probably gone as well.
We looked at our pages a couple of weeks ago, none of us could remember our login.
No, I don't know what mine is. I'll never get back on there again now. If I could. Do you know, have you ever watched a TV show that you thought you were going to really hate and then you ended up loving it?
Sex and the City.
Was that one? Oh, I never watched that.
I love that. And I used to watch it ironically with a girlfriend. I can't remember, maybe my wife. I used to watch it ironically, and then about three episodes in I thought, this is really good actually, but I can't now... I can't now drop the thing and say that I'm enjoying it. So I just used to slag it off, but actually I used to love it. It's a great program.
Yeah, my wife loves RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh yes,
it's a good show, man. I don't quite understand it, but it's fun to watch.
Well, she was watching hot girls
on there. Love it.
Yeah, I came in and out of the room and it was on, and I said, "What is this?" And I walked out of the room again. And she tried to describe what it was like. And it just sounded terrible.
Yeah.
But I started to... Sometimes I'd sit in the room and it'd be on and I'd be looking at it out of the corner of my eye. And then gradually, bit by bit, I got into it. And now it's one of my favourite shows now.
It's weird. It's a weird programme. I don't really watch it religiously, but it start. The first half is like these sort of geeky, horrible, bitchy men. The second half is just hot girls. I say let the hot girls do the whole show. Get rid of the guys at the start. I don't know what that's about. Equal opportunities, I suppose. Just have those hot women.
Don't tell him, Basil.
All the way through. Man alive. I'm living on my own now, so I can enjoy that show to the max.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Very nicely tucked, most of them are.
Sorry? Tucked. He said tucked. He said tucked. Yeah. I hope he said tucked after our last call. Yeah, no, it's weird. Although, RuPaul's got to be like 65 now.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Do you remember when RuPaul did that song with Elton John?
Yeah.
The Kiki D song.
I saw the video just yesterday.
You went on YouTube a bit, did you, and did some research? RuPaul's hot. RuPaul's hot. If I was still drinking, I'd probably, and RuPaul took a shine to me, then I could see us having a bit of fun one night.
It's 58.
Oh yeah.
58.
58. Oh, that's
fine.
It's in his prime.
Yeah. It certainly is.
In her prime.
In her prime. Basil, thank you very much indeed. Let's go to line two. Line two, you're on the wireless.
Just for the record, I can have a shit in front of my partner.
Thank you very much indeed. Well, that's good to know that. And that's excellent, excellent stuff indeed. This is Talk Radio.
Experience the unconventional, the unpredictable, and the completely unorthodox. The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
I mean, blimey, how many times? Hey, we're here. It's 10:22. Let's pretend it's 10 o'clock and we've just hit the reset button. You can talk about anything you want to. 0344 499 1000. Anything you want to, except you know what. Because frankly, we've just lost 20 minutes to it and I'm not sure whether we're ever going to get that time back. In fact, we're never going to get that time back. So let's press on. You can give me a ring. 0344 499 1000. It's just me tonight because Ian is splashing about in a hot tub somewhere and quite frankly, he deserves that. We can talk about hitting the reset button on life. Has there ever been a moment where you would love to just be able to go, right, hit that red button, we can go back to just before then and I can either avoid catastrophe or do things differently? What would be yours? 0344 499 1000. And have you ever been an accidental peeping Tom? I'm really kind of referring to the most interesting thing that happened in Parliament today, which was about 20 arses that hadn't been employed to be there turned up and pressed themselves against the window. Apparently they glued themselves to the window, which I think is a little bit much, but, you know, they're nothing if not thorough. So the last time you were an accidental peeping Tom, 0344 499 1000. I'm sure it's never happened to Alan Caddick. He is nothing but the soul of discretion. Alan Caddick.
Hi, Cass.
Yo, yo, yo.
I've had my Ian fixed today.
Oh, have you?
Because he was on the chase.
Oh, was he now?
It was a repeat.
Okay.
It was the Ian Celebrity Special he did with Shappy, Jenny and Stanley Johnson.
Oh, I remember that, because some of the women got terrible time on Twitter after that, people saying they were useless, etc. Very cruel.
Well, that's no way to talk about Shappy and Jenny.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they got beat by the vixen.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, how would you feel about going on that show? You'd probably be pretty good, wouldn't you, with your power of recall?
Well, it depends. If I can press the button early and put the chase on a 5-second press delay, I would love to go up against the beast.
Right, because?
Because a battle of the big boys.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, it's a big week for me this week, Kat.
Tell me why.
The Grand National this Saturday, on Saturday.
Oh, is it again?
Yeah, the Grand National's on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And at the moment, there are 69 horses confirmed, but only 40 can win on Saturday.
Right. And so where are you going to put your money, if you're putting your money anywhere?
Well, the current favourite at the moment is last year's winner, Tiger Wall, at 7-2. And there's one horse I fancy called What the Casbah.
Oh, right.
I know it sounds like an 80s throwback.
It certainly does, but it's an actual horse.
Yeah.
Okay, why do you fancy it? Nice legs.
Because he's got the champion jockey Richard Johnson on board.
Ah, does that make a difference, really, or is it just about the skill of the horse?
Well, with the lottery, anything can. With the national, I meant to say, anything can happen.
Yeah.
I mean, look at my man in 2009. He was 100-1, and there hasn't been a 100-1 winner about time since Finehaven.
Right. Okay. And what was special about? All right, no, I'm not going to ask because I really don't understand it. Why do you like the Grand National so much?
Because it was the first place I saw when I was a young lad, and I fell in love with it ever since. Uh-huh.
And you've been to the actual, you've been to the race, haven't you? You don't just watch it on telly.
Yeah, I've been to Aintree.
Mm-hmm. Are you going this year?
No, I'm watching it on commercial television.
Right.
But next year I'm hoping to do the whole 3 days, and I shall be ringing live from Liverpool next year.
Gosh, I can hardly wait. Are you going to be one of those people rolling about, you know, in the mud, showing your gusset and stuff? Because that's what they always show in the papers.
No, I had a picture of me riding a fake horse last time I was at Aintree.
Of course they did. How could we ever forget?
Because I didn't realise I was in the Nationals till I got home on the Sunday and somebody showed me.
Somebody what?
I didn't realise I was in the national paper till I got home on the Sunday.
Yeah, and then somebody showed you.
Yeah.
Hey, Caddick, I just remembered. Last time we spoke, you'd fallen out with your brother. Have you sorted it out yet?
No, it's still not talking. And I tried to apologise, but he wasn't having any of it.
Really? That's a shame. I thought you
and, he never bothered to ring me mum for Mother's Day.
Oh, blimey. All because he asked you if you'd had a wash or not?
Yeah.
And you had a wash?
Yeah.
And it was none of his business anyway?
Well, no.
Oh, it's a real shame that you've fallen out over that. It's the sort of thing that my kids fall out over.
Yeah, but like I say, who needs pleasant company, which is 20-1 for this year's national.
Excellent, excellent rebound. Thanks very much for that, Alan Caddick. Nice to
speak
to you. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle. Speech Radio with a difference. Talk Radio.
Hello, Gerald. You're on. Gerald.
Evening.
Hello.
Oh, evening, Cass.
Hiya.
I didn't hear you say Gerald then. Are you all right?
I said it very softly. I didn't want to startle you. How are you doing? You're right?
Yeah, not bad. You said it so softly, I thought I'd rang a different number. I should double check what I'd rang. That's fine, that's fine.
That comes once I retire. I probably get paid more for that.
Yeah.
What have you got for us, Gerald?
Well, just following up Ken's call, it's not as inspirational, but it's more to do with being an accidental peeping Tom.
Oh, yeah, go on.
Yeah, so it's not as much as being a peeping Tom, but just an accidental starer.
All right.
So if you can try and picture the scene, we'd gone out. I worked in an office in Datchet near Slough. We'd gone out on a Friday after work, evening drinks. And as you do, it's the summertime as well. And there's about 7 or 8 of us in a pub garden, if you can picture that. And as we all sat around the table, and there's one lady, girl, who went and. Obviously, it's summer, so she's just being a bit more revealing. You know, you can see a bit more cleavage, right, without being too sordid. And everyone was talking, and I was just in my own world, and I was just daydreaming, and I just happened to be staring towards where her extra button was undone. And as I was staring, I realised that I was staring, but just as I did that, she did a button up on her blouse. And then that horrified me from that, because straight away, I thought, oh no, she knows I'm. She thinks I've been staring. I was actually staring towards her.
Yeah.
And maybe it's some sort of magnet. I don't know.
But you weren't consciously looking at her back.
In 2 hours. I couldn't bring it up. I was thinking, oh, she's going to tell everybody now that I've been staring. I'm going to be the office pervert. But yeah.
Wow.
So.
Okay. Well, that's your excuse, Gerald, and that's the one you're sticking to.
I didn't know what to do, so...
You didn't say anything to her about it, though?
I came clean a few days later.
Good.
And she was well all right about it. She said she didn't realise, you know,
she hadn't noticed.
She didn't know what I was talking about, bless her, but...
Wow,
yeah,
and you've been thinking about it for 2 days.
Well, that was the Friday night, so I couldn't do anything till the following week.
Oh. You know, bless you for trying to sort of sweep the slate clean.
No.
Most blokes wouldn't bother.
And, well, I didn't want to be the office perv, so...
No, not that day, anyway.
No, that's all right. I had to get that.
Bless you. Well, thanks for ringing, Gerald.
Well, it's been very enjoyable, Kath.
Cheers.
Enjoying the show.
Experience the unconventional, the unpredictable, and the completely unorthodox. The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
Let's have a word with Martin. Hey, Martin.
Hello, Kathy, darling.
Hey, Martin, sweetheart. Long time no speak.
Yeah, ask me how I'm doing.
How are you doing?
I'm blooming knackered.
Are you? Why?
Yeah. Right, I've got a lot of things in my mind, but you're talking about spirituality.
Yes.
Have you ever seen the film, what's it, film, what's it called? Somewhere in Time.
No, I don't think I have seen it. What's that about?
With Christopher Lee. Is his name Christopher Lee? The man who played Superman.
Oh, Christopher Reeve.
And Christopher Reeve.
I have seen it years ago. And has it got, what's her name? Dr. Quinn, what's her name? Jane Seymour?
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
I have seen that.
What do you think of the philosophies behind it all? Do you believe
that? Remind me of it, because it was a long time ago. It was probably about 12. From what I remember, there was a watch, and he went back in time, and he was madly in love with this woman.
Yes.
And then at the end, does she die? And someone dies, and they meet each other in the afterlife. Is that right?
Yeah. He does. He pines for her, don't he? And he stops eating and stuff, and he gradually... They found him in his hotel room and he passed away, and at the end you could see them together.
Oh.
Now, you see, I tried, through watching that film, I tried to do that. I used to live in a bedsit, and I tried doing that, going back in time in that same fashion. And I got this real deep sinking feeling, and I had to climb back out of it.
Just hang on a minute, if we remind ourselves. So I'm remembering a fob watch. Did he hypnotise himself or something?
He had the idea of lying on his couch and saying to himself, I want to go back in time, I want to go back in time. And he got so deep into saying that his body literally took him. He absorbed, his spirit absorbed into the past, and he actually appeared in the film in a age which will have been, would you say it was the 18th century or...?
Yeah, it was like Victorian times, wasn't it?
Yeah. So... I did try doing that, and as I say, I got this sinking feeling. And ever since doing that 25 years ago, it doesn't happen to me now so much, but I can get this peaceful, calm sensation, and then something bangs to arouse me out of it. And one night I was sleeping, and I could hear this. I was in this state of calm and tranquility. I could hear this banging, you know, trying to arouse me. And I said, no, I'll ignore it. So I kept sleeping. And then whatever it was pushed a picture that was stood up against the wall, flat on its face, to really get me out of that situation. So what I believe is, some people don't believe in God, but I've actually met God 25 years ago in a dream. And in the dream, there was a lady there. And at the end of the dream, that was a time, you see, I had this compilation of dreams where I saw these two little angels, little kids. And then about 6 months after seeing these two angels, God took my spirit back into heaven to meet him. And when I looked, the girl was a lady and the man was a man representing me. And at the end of the dream, he never spoke to me, but I looked at him face to face and I said to him, you know, I hate you because look what you've done, you know. And as eyes connected together, and then I woke up next morning, and from that day I've got a black dot and it moves around in my eye.
Oh.
Sometimes it expands, but most times it's about 2 millimetres wide and it's just there floating around. So I think when I die, in fact I know, that I'm going to wake up 25 years in the past, back in the bedsit when I met God that night, and then start my life from there. So what I do now, the little kind things that I do now, when I get to this time in 2019, I'll have reached from 1995 to now, and whatever I do goes ahead of me. So do you... Because, you know, elephants, they say that when an elephant dies, it goes somewhere to die, don't
yeah.
you? So do you believe that you have somewhere where you're going to have a portal for your own personal knowing where it is? It could be a bridge or it could be between a gap in a wall. Do you think that there's something sacred that, especially for you, that you've come across?
I don't, Martin, but I wouldn't rule it out for anyone else. I don't really... No, I haven't thought about it. To be honest, I haven't thought about portals.
Yeah, well, you see, the universe and stuff, you know. I mean, do you think that all this modern, all this technology and all this intelligence, do you think it does us any good or
no.
do you think it does us bad?
I think that there are some good bits about it, but I think that if we're not careful, it can be very negative.
Yeah.
You've got to treat it with respect and with care.
And how negative? What way negative?
in that I think it's quite addictive. And some people are better than others about resisting that.
Yeah.
And I think that there is a tendency towards maybe living a fantasy life that's not real because you can do it, you can be whoever you want to be.
Yeah. So do you, I bet you don't go on Facebook so much right now, do you?
Not anymore, I actually don't know.
Not anymore, but have you done a bit of it in the past?
Yes.
And what, see, I can't even, what about, I mean, if I can't stand adverts because of all these beautiful, perfect people and happy lives, I mean, how much of Facebook can you be exposed to? Is it 24 hours a day or?
Yeah, I mean, some people are on it all the time, aren't they? And you can see that some people are trying to portray a life that can't be real. Because I think if you're that happy, why would you be spending time showing everybody else?
Yeah, and looking at this situation, do you believe in a partner that you've got to love them when they're looking bad? Not if you meet somebody for a date, would you go glammed up or would you over underdress yourself or would you be normal or you know how? What's the best way to meet someone? Because I mean, anybody can look nice and perfect, but
you've got to
when
show
you get the makeup off.
Yeah, I know, but I think there's a certain amount of glamming yourself up to show that you care about what they think of you and that you've made an effort. I don't think that I wouldn't want to look like someone completely different.
Yeah, you know, sweetheart, right? Because I mean, I'm no paedophile or anything like that, but you know, I can look at a child and think, oh, you'll be pretty, you'll be nice when you grow up and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I was in the shop about 3 months ago and there was this lassie, she was about 14. I'm like 50, but I've never had a girlfriend. So I was looking at her and she looked, and the way she looked in my eyes and I looked in hers, you know, you could see that I think kids are missing that innocent glare of a grown-up because I looked at her and she was very, extremely good-looking, but you could see she's still, she's got a lot of feeling. You could see she's not arrogant because a lot of these kids now, they can be they have a sense of entitlement. You see what I mean? And I think that's what society's going wrong, because they've got this sense of entitlement that they should have more than what they've got, you know.
Do you think it's that, or do you think it's the fact they've grown up around all these images about what they're supposed to be? Because I feel a bit sorry for kids, and particularly girls these days. I've got two goddaughters. I was going to say little goddaughters. They're not anymore. And they're kind of 13 and 14.
Yeah.
And they're a lot more aware of their appearance than I was at their age, and I think that's a shame.
I know it is, but see, the thing is, kids aren't getting snow no more. You know, the one year runs into another. No wonder they're confused. I mean, I'm 51, and I remember as a child, snow was always around at winter, but now the kids have got, I mean, it's only snowed maybe once this year. I mean, what's happened? You know, the things that we had as children: snow, chomping for firewood, going out into woods and stuff.
Where did you live in Grimm's Fairy Tales?
No, it's just I was brought up in a children's home for a bit of my life, and we used to go. You know, it's the last of my wine place, sweetheart.
Yes.
Yeah, well, the last of my wine is exactly where I was brought up, and we used to go in the woods and we used to do stuff. We could play. You know, and now kids aren't got no snow. You know, it's just one long year. It's just one long season. No wonder, you know. So, and you see, with this modern technology again and stuff, it's like you can trace it back to the Bible. I'm going to hang up now because you can trace it back to the Bible where God said to Adam when he sinned, "Dust you are, and dust you'll return." And then in another part of the Bible, he says to he cursed a generation and said, "You will chirp from the very dust like a bird does." And when he says chirp from the dust, I mean, now they're calling it Twitter. I mean, the scriptures are fulfilling themselves. You know, people, they're virtually dead people. You know, when they chirp like a little bird on Twitter, tweeting everything. You know, so, you know, I mean, I can't define how you're supposed to live your life, but it's not. You can't believe in the Bible 100%. You can't believe in sports 100%. You've got to have a little bit here and a little bit there, you know, on your plate. You can't just live on one thing. But God does exist, and you know, when he does judge. See, scientists believe that he judges people at the age of about 25, And that's when I was judged at the around about the age of 25. So, you know, I don't want to see, I've got all these confusing thoughts, but yeah. So, are you going away at all this year, darling?
I didn't think he was going there. I don't know. I was talking about it this weekend. We should sort something out. But it's like you say, that the city goes from one week to the next and you don't catch up with yourself, do you? I'll have to have a think about it, Martin. Are you going away?
Me going? No, I've been away for about 30 years now. I want to get out. I want to go out and stuff. But I'm a bit of a loner, so, you know, I'm not lonely, but I am a loner.
The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle. Speech Radio with a difference. Talk Radio.
Here's the thing, right? We've known each other for, what, 3 years since I've been working here? Maybe longer if you were listening to us at the other place. And I have not been feeling like I've been honest with you for most of that time, because I don't think I am who you think I am, right? And I'm not talking about anything existential. I'm not talking about me being dishonest or anything like that in terms of my character or the things I believe and all that stuff. But you've been calling me like Kath for sort of, what, 5 years now? And I am not Kath to anyone else in my life. Here's the thing, right? That moment where someone starts calling you something that's not your name and you don't correct it and it spirals, right? So that's the first thing I want to talk to you about tonight. Has that happened to you? And did you set them straight? Or are you that other name to someone else now forever? I had a teacher that used to call me Mary. I have no idea why. Probably something rude. Probably an in-joke in the staff room. But for ages, he would just call me Mary. Outside of this room, outside of this office, outside of, like, the rabbit hole shows and Twitter, I'm not Kath at all. I'm Catherine, or Kate. Kate generally for family members, but just not Kath anywhere else. In fact, my mum hates me being called Kate, hates it. And growing up, Kath, and if anyone called me in front of my mum, she would go nuts. So it took a long time. And that is why my Twitter handle is Flippin' Kath, because it's my mum's voice going, what are they calling you? Flippin' Kath. And that's why, right? Also, you know, my name had gone by that time, my actual name or any of the names I go by. But that, you know, I just thought I'd come clean about it. It's been weighing on me. Not heavily. I'm not that bothered. But it always kind of, the way people know me, you can tell whether they actually know me or whether they know me through the radio. You know, if they call me Kath, it's a radio thing. Which is cool. I generally don't mind if I like you. But it's just, you know, if someone you don't like calls you by the name that's not yours. I'm sure I'm not the only one. 0344 499 1000. Alan Caddick.
Hi, Kath.
Hey, there you go. Does anyone call you Al?
No, they just call me Caddick, like Ian does.
Yeah, and how do you feel about that, really?
Make me feel like I'm back at school, Mr. Bond saying, you, boy!
Does it make you feel like you're at school?
Yeah.
So what, everyone outside the radio calls you Alan?
Yeah.
Oh.
Even Sam, and he's working there.
Well, how would you prefer to... I'll call you whatever you want to be called.
Well...
As long as it's not like Big Boy or Daddy or something.
Dusty.
Dusty?
As in Dusty Bin.
Why?
Because I'd love the old ITV game show 3-2-1.
I'm not sure I can call you Dusty forever. Does anyone else call you Dusty, or is it just a you and me thing?
Well, when I was at college, my nickname was DJ Dusty.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I did my own whapping.
Okay.
DWDWDY, man, I study your no way. BWIDWN, that means coming everyone, it's coming green, it's Tuesday night, it's Panther, you've got to go, it's Cat Ball on Talk Radio.
Wow, can't argue with that. I had no idea.
Many hidden talents, Kath.
So many, and we are only discovering them bit by bit. How's your day been today, Dusty?
Hello,
DJ Dusty in the house.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to an event that's happening on Sunday in America.
In America? Oh, okay, because when you were saying it was happening this weekend, I thought you meant that horse race, but you're talking about something different.
There are other events besides the Grand National.
Are there, though?
The boat race?
Yeah.
FA Cup semi-finals, but in America we've got WrestleMania.
Okay, I mean, out of all of them, and I've got very, very little interest in any of them, the thing that would interest me more, and that's not saying a lot, I refer to my previous comment, is the WrestleMania. So who's the hot favourite for this one? Or can you not have hot favourites?
Well, the women have got the main event.
Right.
WrestleMania.
All right.
Rowdy Ronda Rousey, which is the War Women's Champion.
Rowdy what?
Ronda Rousey.
Ronda Rousey?
Yeah. She used to be in UFC.
Okay. What's that?
She's the War Women's Champion, going up against Charlotte Flair, daughter of the Nature Boy.
The Nature Boy?
Ric Flair.
Right.
She's the SmackDown Women's Champion against the winner of the Women's Royal Rumble match, Becky Lynch.
Becky Minge?
No, Becky Lynch. She won the Royal Rumble.
Okay.
In a triple threat match where it's winner takes all.
I'm hearing a lot of words and none of them make any sense. But it sounds like it's going to be fun.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's on the WWE Network.
Okay. Do any of them do, like, tricks? You know, like the voodoo man used to put a spell on everyone and Ravishing Rick Rude would, like, wear gold pants and... Or is that not happening anymore?
Well, Charlotte Flair, she's got a move called a figure eight.
All right.
She locks her legs over her opponent like her dad did for the figure four. Then she would stand on her hands to turn it into a figure eight.
Okay, well, that's a move.
A submissive move, that is.
Right. And what about you?
With me, I would body slam and lock Andre the Giant. Like when Hulk Hogan body slammed Andre the Giant at WrestleMania 3.
Did he, though? Because,
yeah.
I mean, you look at them, and I know that Hulk Hogan was a muscly man, especially in his prime, but Andre the Giant, what, by the name, was massive.
He was a big lad, Andre the Giant was.
He was.
And Hulk Hogan body slammed him back in 1987.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, it was like the irresistible force for me to be an immovable object.
Right. I mean, you're an encyclopedia of these things, and so... So I'll take your word for it, but yeah, it sounds fun. So that's happening on Sunday?
On Sunday night.
And how will you prep for that?
But going to bed early and staying up all night.
Wow. You know how to live, Dusty.
I know.
Take care of yourself.
Bye.
Bye. I mean, when Caddick came on, I usually think I'm going to know what the script is, but I really didn't account for that particular performance.
The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle. Speech Radio with a difference. Talk Radio.
Well, it took a while this morning, but a vital connection was eventually made, and it was an experience I'm going to share with you now. If you're a woman of childbearing age, you've been here. Maybe not quite the same place I was, but you kind of know the drill. If you're a man, you're about to be educated. So I had my... They call it a cervical screening now because smear test sounds too disgusting. And frankly, when I first got a letter through asking me to go for a smear, I thought it was something involving, I don't know, a wet wipe. It's not. It's not. It's not. It's a little bit more intrusive than that. Anyway, so where I go is a place where I pretty much grew up. You know, I moved down south when I was 10, so, and I've lived in sort of the same sort of area ever since. And so I know quite a lot of people, like either they're someone I went to school with or they know someone I went to school with. And, you know, it's quite a small community where if you don't know them directly, you know of them, right? So I've been to this surgery before, obviously. You have to go every 3 years. And the last couple of times, I've had the same nurse. And she's someone who is married to someone my husband played cricket with years ago. So it's kind of distant, but I recognise the face. And she will obviously recognise my face and also a very intimate part of me by now. And I remember the first time I went in there and we recognised it. So she went, "It's just me here. Is that all right?" And I thought, well, I'm here now. And, you know, you kind of psych yourself up to going for these things. Blokes, I'm sure you get the same thing when you get the fickle finger of fate, right? If you get your foot through the door, you don't want to leave without having it done because you don't want to go through that thing again, right? So I was kind of braced for her being there, and she was, and there was also someone else there, and it was a student nurse who was obviously being shown, I would say, the ropes, but that would be detrimental to my precious flower. So anyway, she said to me, "Do you mind if I watch?" And in fact, what she was doing was she was participating, and the
the woman I vaguely knew was going to watch, right? So, hence the phone-in title, Do You Mind If I Watch, right? And if you've ever been a medical miracle or a medical curiosity, or you've been in a situation where someone has wanted to observe you for whatever reason, this is your time, 0344 499 1000. Again, once you're in that situation, you just want it over with. And actually, I don't mind that much. As my 7-year-old daughter said to me when I vaguely discussed it, I didn't tell her the whole thing about it, but I said I was going for them to have a look at my privates. She said they haven't really been private since she had their mum. And it's kind of true. So, you know, I was trying to be grown up about it. And I said, no, of course, I don't mind. So they leave you alone to take your trousers off and sit on the most uncomfortable couch in the world and cover yourself with a bit of paper and lie back and try and go to your happy place. So when they come, me lying there like a very cold Winnie the Pooh down below. And they get the big torch out. So the student nurse is the one actually conducting the procedure, and the other one was talking her through it. And to be fair to the person who was talking her through it, she did keep saying, are you all right up there? And to which I would reply, yes. But then by the end, I was laughing my head off because, I mean, she couldn't find it, even though her face was in it. She couldn't find it. Apparently it moves about in the course of... And I learned an awful lot about it because I think I could probably do one from listening to the commentary, to be honest. It wasn't that muffled. So she couldn't find it, and then she finally found it, and then the speculum was going in and out, and I was thinking, at least buy me a drink first before we get to this kind of activity. But it happened in the end, and, you know, everyone's got to learn. I just kind of wish you hadn't learned on my family.
The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle. Speech radio with a difference. Talk radio.
Cool. Oh, we were talking about that charmer earlier on, talking about why he wouldn't date a single mum, and frankly, doesn't deserve one. Doesn't deserve one at all. It may be that you are sitting on a gold mine, and I'm not talking about what happened to me this morning, although it would explain the discomfort. Child's Play, the common children's books that are worth thousands, right? And if you're anything like our house, we've got loads and loads of those sort of picture books, the Julia Donaldson ones and stuff, and they get read and loved and then sort of stashed in a corner and not looked at from one year to the next. It may be that you're talking about, that is an absolute fortune you're sitting on. Every family has a collection of old children's classics, most likely gathering dust in the attic, says the son. However, before you flog them for mere pennies at a car boot sale, you might want to double check, because some could be worth as much as £12,000. Antiques expert David Harper has revealed the surprising children's titles that could fetch thousands at auction. The priciest, he mentioned, was The Very Hungry Caterpillar. Everyone's got that, but you've got that next door. The Very Hungry Caterpillar, with an original 1969 edition worth up to £12,085, as long as it's in mint condition. It's never going to be in mint condition. It's probably got a bite mark taken out of the middle of it. An original copy of the popular 1963 Morris Sendak classic Where the Wild Things Are, which is a weird book, but kids love it, don't they? Could fetch you a healthy sum of £5,090, a 200% increase from its worth in 2004, where it was £1,540. That's an original. That's got to be a first edition. The least valuable was The Little Engine That Could, with a 1930s edition expected to fetch just £130 at auction. I bought that for my kids because I looked at, like, popular books from America. I don't think it's as big in this country, is it, The Little Engine That Could? But it's a big deal over there. These books. However, David Harper, who conducted the research... Hang on a minute. David Harper, conducting the research in collaboration with Home Project Insurance... Oh, there we go. Warns the book should be in pretty good nick to fetch the top prices. He told Mail Online, most 20th century books also need to have their original dust jacket to be of collectible value. My kids shed those straight away, those dust jackets. Michael Haley, director and head of books and manuscripts at Bonhams, previously told The Sun that first editions or a full set of volumes can command the highest prices, as well as those that were manufactured as a one-off. Oh, I see a picture of the tiger that came to tea. That's a big one in our house. Although, that was a very fishy story, don't you think? The tiger that came to tea. So, we're supposed to believe, as the husband coming home at the end of the long day, that a tiger's been in and drunk all your beer and drunk all the water out of the tap. And eaten all the cakes and drunk all the tea. Yeah, of course. The wife has been having a right old party, is what's happened, and she's covered it up with the most... You know, if you're going to lie, lie big. If the book is damaged in any way, such as a battered spine or missing a title page, the value will decrease. Then he added, searching your bookshelves for treasures can feel like looking for a needle in a haystack, but in every auction we have sellers who are stunned by how much their old books make. Elsewhere, a Harry Potter book with misspellings and personal notes had fetched £68,000 at auction. £68,000! And someone scribbled in it. So, yeah, have a look in your books, but, I mean, I think you'd know if you had a first edition of any of these books, wouldn't you? Flipping heck, though. I mean, who would have thought, though, that that Harry Potter thing would have taken off the way it did? Because for me, when it first came out, I thought, well, this sounds a lot like The Worst Witch. In fact, it sounds so much like The Worst Witch, it's pretty much The Worst Witch. Did you ever read that? But there we go. 0344 499 1000. Becky, thanks for your message. It says, thanks very much for talking about this. The cervical screening programme is pretty much the best for benefits of the individual. If all eligible women attended, it could prevent 80% of cervical cancer. And the HPV vaccine is key too. Yeah, do you know what? We all kind of know this, and we're taught this from being teenagers, but there are loads of women that don't go, and I can see why. I can totally see why. And it's kind of bound up with the fact that a lot of us have been brought up to be ashamed of our privates. And, especially now, where there are so many kind of lotions and potions designed to apparently make it less offensive, that, you know, you'd be forgiven for thinking it wasn't just a purely normal bodily part that, as long as you keep it clean, will do its job. And has been doing it pretty much since the dawn of time. But apparently it needs lotions and potions. It's terrible. But and it also leads to women not wanting to get checked out because they're ashamed of their bodies. I think it's awful. But, you know, they're also older women. And I was speaking to someone on Twitter earlier today who said that even though, you know, she and her sisters are trying to convince her mum to go and have been trying to convince their mum, and we're talking someone who's, you know, who's an older person, she won't go. She's too frightened to go, I guess. And it's an easy thing to do, isn't it? You get your letter through and it's, you know, that sort of soul-sinking moment where you think, oh, another 3 years has gone and it's my time to do this. And you have to actively pick up the phone and make the appointment. But, you know, it could save your life. It could save your life. And you only have to look around. There was someone you will know who didn't go in time or who did go in time and was treated. And there are great stories about people, you know, being treated with enough time to go. And a lot of women who just go as a matter of course and never talk about it because it's kind of embarrassing. But, you know, if you get your letter through, please do give it serious thought because it could save your life. There you go. Lecture over. When I got my letter this time around, I found it really interesting. They sent a leaflet through as well to sort of try and convince me to go, saying you don't have to, it's not obligatory, but you might want to read this. And I guess if it's the nudge that women need to go and take care of that, then it's got to be a good thing. 0344 499 1000. So if you've ever been in that position where, not that position, or although it might have been that position, if you've been in the position where you're about to have something done and they bring in a student, 0344 499 1000. We can also talk about that thing of you didn't correct someone when it came to your name and now it's too late. I had a really good one of those earlier on from Jenna, who said that the thanks for this, by the way. Jenna tweeted me saying that the cleaner at work has been calling her Becky, here it is, for 2 years, and it's gone on too long. Friends have tried to correct her, but she's not having any of it. And also Paul, who says that people call him Phil because his surname's Philbert. And it goes to the point where it's too late to correct them. 0344 499 1000. Thank you very much to everyone who gives us a ring. I'd love that. Thanks also if you send me a tweet like Jimmy just has. Thank you very much for that. I'm at Flipping Cath or at Talk Radio. Jimmy says, I always argue with my girlfriend to get checked out down below and to check her breasts. Hang on a minute. And then we're changing tack and that's fine. The best kids book has to be by Sean Locke, The Tiger Who Went for a Pint. Or Cyril the Screw, they're on YouTube. Jimmy, I'm not convinced they're suitable for kids, but I'll certainly check those out. Get in touch. This is your show. We can talk about what I've laid out there, but you know that you can talk about whatever you want to. Come, offload about your day. It's Tuesday. The week is young. For some of you, you're already over it. Just give me a shout and we can talk about whatever you like. 0344 499 1000. You're listening to Talk Radio and I'm Catherine Boyle.
The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
Hello, Elaine.
Sorry?
Hello, is that you, Elaine?
It is, yes.
Hello.
It is, yeah.
Thank you for ringing.
Hey, I was just confused about what the topic was.
Well, we're talking...
I was ringing about Jeremy Corbyn
Oh, what?
And the target practice.
Jeremy Corbyn and what?
And the target practice by the military.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, is that what we're talking about? I just heard a completely different subject. I'm sorry. I only tuned in, you know, about 20 minutes ago, and I thought the subject was about Jeremy Corbyn.
It isn't, but you can talk about it if you want, Elaine. I don't mind.
There's no point, really. It's not interesting.
I'm not interested. I'm interested in what you have to say.
Well, I think it's appalling. I think it's very indicative of, you know, I'm not saying the guy's perfect, but I think the smears that he's had have been extraordinary. Right. And I just think that, you know, when they're saying, oh, well, you know, we do that with people, you know, take target practice. Well, they shouldn't.
So no, here's the story, just in case anyone's missed it. Okay, a video showing soldiers firing at a Jeremy Corbyn poster for target practice demonstrated a serious error.
Really bad now, actually, because I'm on the wrong line. I was actually listening to somebody who was discussing it, and you're on a totally different.
It's all right, yeah. Elaine. This is fine. This is a sort of show where you can ring up and talk about whatever you want.
Right.
So it's fine.
I was just sort of answering that, and I just kind of assumed that. I just think that the guy, I want him to go, you know, because I just think he's never going to win because he's actually very genuine.
Yeah.
And he I know he's met Hezbollah and I know he's met the IRA, but so did Margaret Thatcher. So did, I know not everyone met Hezbollah, but, you know, there's a lot of Israelis that protest for the Palestinians. I just think the guy's not going to get anywhere because of things like the army shooting him as a traitor. I just think it's appalling.
I would love to know who else they're using for target practice, whether they're just using famous faces. It doesn't excuse it. I think it's awful. And the fact is they're going to investigate it so someone else agrees. I don't think it's...
I think what it is... I don't even know your name.
Catherine.
Oh, sorry, Catherine.
That's all right.
Elaine. I think the thing is what it's just what I see a lot online and it's kind of like very unnecessary. And
I think it's awful. It's not just unkind, Elaine. It's flipping dangerous, right? Because we're in such
dangerous.
A kind of tinderbox environment at the moment that, you know, people suggesting people are traitors and threats of violence are one thing, but actually this video, it's highly irresponsible. I agree with you.
Well, I'm glad you do, because I know a lot of people are saying, well, you know, but I've, and it always amazes me, you know, I vote for a party because of the manifesto. Mm-hmm. Leaders can be changed. But, you know, there's so many soldiers on the streets, so many that have, you know, not been looked after, and the fact that they think he's a traitor, concerns me, because to be honest, you know, what did Tony Blair do? You know, most people in history have made decisions that, you know, weren't the right ones.
Mm.
And I just think he's a guy that really stands by his... In fact, I don't think he wants a second referendum. I think he...
No.
Like, quietly to get out.
I think, you know, I'm not a massively political person, I've got to be honest, but I think the impression I have of Jeremy Corbyn is that he will stand by his principles to a fault, you know.
Well, do you know what, Catherine? That's kind of what I like. I just kind of I go with that.
Mm.
So, it was lovely to talk to you.
You too. Thanks for ringing, even though you got the wrong number.
I know you were talking about... It's, I had twins.
Oh, did you?
It was a nightmare.
Oh, God.
No, it actually wasn't.
How old are they now?
23.
Right. Gosh.
And you know what? No, honestly, the first couple of years, and because of the time, it was so difficult.
Mm.
I was so terribly depressed.
I bet.
But it was the end of my life. And now, they're just the greatest guys. And fortunately, they look into things a little bit more than other people do, and I like to think that they're very ethical and
yeah.
decent.
Good. I'm glad it worked out all right for you. It's so hard. We have twins every generation in my family. So I remember my auntie having little twins, a boy and a girl, and coming into the room, putting them down in their baby carriage when they were tiny and just going off for a cry. She said, it's just so hard. No one told me. It was hard enough when I had single babies. I can't imagine what it's like to have two.
No, and I tell you what, though, you have muscles on muscles.
Yes.
Because you've got everything's double child. You know, the child, like, in the car seats and double the... Oh, yeah, yeah. I did look quite fit at the time, but I was absolutely distraught. But honestly, I think once they get to about 5 or 6, they're absolutely wonderful.
Well, they become company then, don't they?
Yeah, exactly, and that's easier. And, you know, it's easier leaving them at school on the first day... It's easier leaving them at anywhere.
Oh, because they've got each other.
They've got each other, yeah.
Do they get on?
They do get on. They're extremely different, extremely different. And they don't really have a lot of contact when they're apart. Well, they think that Facebook's just for silly old people like me. But when they're here together... They have very, very intelligent discussions where I'm blown away a bit. So,
I can tell how proud you are, Elaine. Well done for surviving it. Twins, honestly.
Well, well done you for letting me speak. It's very kind of you, and I've had a couple of glasses of wine, and I feel that I've put my point all right. So,
you have. You've done really well. You're on talk radio, by the way, Elaine.
Do you know what? I love talk radio.
Good.
But I can't always get it live.
Well, this is an outrage. Where are you?
I'm in Cumbria.
Right. I shall send a letter to the management immediately and sort that out.
I'm struggling with that because actually I have to watch it on YouTube or get it on my phone. Yeah, and I've got to adapt radio stuff. And honestly, I've listened to it lately and I just think I just love this state. Like, I always like Matthew Wright. And I was listening to Ian. What's this? Is on 10 to 1.
Yeah, he's normally on this. I do this show with him normally.
He's absolutely hilarious.
Well, good. I'm glad you like it. He'll be back next week, but it's just me this week. If you fancy a gab.
Oh well, you're even better. You're lovely because he's like really cheeky, but I loved it. Just really entertaining.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm glad. It's nice to find. It's nice for us to find each other, Elaine. Thanks for ringing.
Oh, thanks, Catherine.
Take care.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, bye. 03444991000, or anyone who drifts in, really. You know the score.
The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
Hello, Rebecca.
Hello, Catherine.
Hello. Thank you for hanging on. I know you've been there for a while, and apologies for that, but...
That's all right.
These conversations, flipping heck tonight, they've been all over the shop.
Well, I thought I might change gear a little bit.
Yeah, go on then.
Because I heard something that made me chuckle the other day, and I'm hoping you might like it too.
Wonderful.
It's about shared fetish venues.
Okay, it's complete shift in gear. Tell me more.
A new break since Angela.
Yes.
Well, I go to a pub in King's Cross to see my friends every now and again, and it's just a normal pub from the kind of ground floor up. You've got a ground floor and then an upper floor with a little roof garden. It's all very nice.
Uh-huh.
But it has kind of a basement that can be hired out for events and various things. And it tends to be kind of niche interest that hire this basement.
Right.
And there's a kind of in terms of the economics of it, there's a critical mass of it. So some groups have got enough people so that they can fill it out and it'll make it pay. But some groups are very niche and they have to share. And as I understand it, at the moment, we have adult babies having to share with the furries. And I just really like the idea of when it's kind of, you've got half the room dressed in nappies and baby clothes, and the other half dressed in a furry animal outfit.
It sounds like a fever dream about the weirdest nursery you've ever heard of.
Well, I like the idea of nap time, so when the adult babies can curl up and they can cuddle the furries as their teddy bears.
Wow. Wow. I always want... Do people, like, go dressed or do they change there? Because, you know, people wandering around London, no one would bat an eyelid, probably, with any of it.
I've never seen an adult baby wandering around, or a furry, to be honest. But maybe they've got coats on, big long coats. I don't know.
The adult baby thing is interesting, though, isn't it?
It is. It's I imagine it's about giving up all responsibility and just being totally giving everything over to somebody else to do for you.
Like, yeah.
I can see how people maybe in high powered jobs or high stress situations might just like to spend a bit of time wiggling around on their back, kicking their legs in the air and asking for bottles of milk.
That I can kind of get. The soiling yourself, needing changing.
Ooh, yeah. Do they do that?
I think some do. I mean, there's probably shades of, you know, with everything, but...
That's
the bit I'd have a bit of trouble with. But you know what? Ian always says it, and it's true. If you can think about it, someone gets off on it.
Yes, I reckon that's probably their case.
Yeah. But wow, these places. So when was the last time you went to a thing at King's Cross?
Probably about a month ago.
And... how much can you tell me about it? I don't want to pry, but I am interested.
Well, I go to meet my friends there, and because it's like a normal pub, you can have a very vanilla time up in the dust. But if you do go downstairs, the sights that you see are fairly hair-raising, I'd have to say. If you imagine as sleazy as you can get,
right.
And it won't be as sleazy as that place, I don't think.
Wow. Right, okay. So, but people obviously, there's a market for it and people need it. I thought that King's Cross had been, quote-unquote, cleaned up.
I think it has, but this displacement hasn't. Not by the smell of the toilet.
Oh, my God, can you imagine? Well, that was fascinating insight, Rebecca. I really appreciate it.
I just thought I'd pass it on to you.
Thanks very much. You give me an image that it will take a long time for me to get rid of. Thanks very much. Take care, Rebecca. You see, you can talk about whatever you want. 0344 499 1000. I mean, you know what a furry is, don't you? Because we did this thing. We were going to do a documentary about Comic-Con and about cosplay, which is when people dress up and get as so imaginative and so accurate, and they'd spend months. And the best cosplayers, you know, they make it from scratch. It's not a matter of just going down to your local fancy dress shop and buying it, or Amazon, you know, the way me and the rest of the lazy mums do when it comes to book week and all that stuff. They spent ages getting these costumes sorted out. There were some amazing things at this Comic-Con thing. There were people dressed up as, like, Transformers, and, you know, and you knew that they was completely homemade. Brilliant. I mean, it's artistry is what it is. But there was a whole kind of furry section as well. And I would really love to speak to a furry about what that thing is, right? Because in a non-judgmental way, I don't get it. I know for some of them it is a sexual thing, for some of them it isn't. But there were some furries at the Comic-Con and they kind of did keep themselves to themselves. I'm looking through the glass because I know that Sam is on the borderlines of some of this stuff. But furries? No. Nothing he's going to admit to tonight, anyway.
The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle. Speech Radio with a difference. Talk Radio.
Let's have a word with John. Hey, John.
Hello, Catherine. You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks. Sorry for making you hang on so long.
No, not a problem. What I'd like to talk about, a lot. Some people might think it's a bit controversial, but I'm going to wonder if I can talk about transgenders in sport.
Go.
Right. I don't know if you've seen any tweets by... Have you heard of Sharon Davies?
Yes.
She's an MBE who used to be a swimmer.
Yeah.
And she's lately been bringing up about it unfair on women for trans to compete. Because
right.
If a man becomes a lady, if you know what I mean, and then competes against a female in either swimming or boxing or athletics, it's just going to kill a lot of young girls' dreams and stuff for the future and...
It's a really tricky one, this, because I get it, but I get both sides, right? So the first thing is, you know, for someone who is transgender, it's not a matter of a man becoming a lady. It's a matter of someone being born in the wrong body, right? And then finally getting reassigned properly. But the physicality that comes with that is problematic when you are pitching physical types against each other. So I completely get it. And it's something that Ian and I have talked about in the past, and I wonder whether it's time... that we start treating people the way we would treat boxers and stuff, and which is pitting similar types against each other, regardless of what gender they are.
You see, like already in like America, like the universities and things, there's trans who are breaking records that have been set by female, like, I don't know how to put it, like, without offending people. People who were born as a female,
yeah.
I'll say it like that.
Yeah,
like,
no, you're right.
And there's
videos of boxing or MMA where trans are fighting females. And I just think it's going to end in tragedy. I mean, I haven't got kids, so did you say earlier you've got a 7-year-old daughter?
I've got a 7-year-old daughter, yeah.
If your 7-year-old daughter is the fastest female sprinter in her region, how do you try to encourage her or to keep going as she is, knowing that in 10 years' time she would be getting beaten by a trans athlete?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's tough on women, like, they've come a long way in equal rights and all this kind of thing, but I think in 10 and 15 years' time, people have got to think about that it's going to ruin a lot of young girls' lives. And
I think we'll have got it sorted by then. I think we will have had a really... Because this is still quite... I mean, this is quite a new phenomenon and people are still working out where we go with it, right? And so some of the answers have been ham-fisted. You know, the Caster Semenya, for example... Someone who's always identified as a woman, it's only sort of come out in later life that genetically she has a lot of male characteristics. And it's something that people have been accusing her of for years and years before she actually knew that that was the situation with herself.
Yeah.
I completely understand why, if you're an athlete training to the, you know, the nth degree, which is what they do, they forego every part of, you know, social life and all that stuff that that young people enjoy doing and need for sort of healthy development, because they're so targeted towards this one aim, you know, of being the best. I completely get why. Oh, he's gone. I completely get why this would happen. Can you get John back for me, please? It's a really tricky one, and I think we're just at the start of this journey, but it's a conversation worth having. And I don't know what the answer is, apart from this idea of looking at people, matching people physically rather than in terms of gender. What do you think? Could that work? You know, like in boxing, you've got sort of bantam weight, featherweight, all that sort of stuff, and they look... You wouldn't ever put someone, a heavyweight, against a bantam weight. Maybe we look at it that way instead and have men and women racing together. Would that work? I wonder. John's back. Hey, John. Hey.
I've talked about this, like, with all my mates and stuff. And, like, in the Olympics, say, you have the men's and the women's, OK? Mm-hmm. Now, you could separate and have trans female and trans male, but then I don't think the trans female and trans male would like being separated from male and female.
No.
So I just don't know how that's ever going to get sorted, really, because, like I say, without one... I don't mean to offend people, but...
I know you
definitely
don't.
..definitely not fair for a trans... male who's trans went to a female to be competing against a female that's been working for 15 years and sacrificed many things.
Although, hang on, it depends on the trans male, because some women would be a cisgendered male, you know, because they're so good. So it, but it is, you know, it's an interesting hypothetical idea at this point.
Yeah, like I say, I just think it's something to think about as well for children. I mean, breaking kids' dreams at 7 and 8 year old and saying, look, you won't be able to compete as a female in 100 metres because you won't be quick enough.
That seems a bit drastic at this point. People, the transgender community is still in the minority and they're still trying to find their way.
Yeah.
Here's my tack on stuff like this from now on. What I've started doing recently, I'm willing to ask someone who's transgender what they think about it. I want to hear what they think, because otherwise we're just guessing, aren't we?
Yeah, it'd be nice. Like you say, I'm not ringing up to offend people.
No, I know
like
you're
that.
Not.
I'm just wondering where it's gonna go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
What I feel really uncomfortable about is people who, you know, cis women somehow having it in for transgender women, when actually we're all kind of battling for a similar thing, and it's people just trying to live their lives the best way they can. And frankly, they need cutting some slack. They have a hard enough time as it is. But yeah, this kind of idea of pitting one person against another, it is a thorny thing. And I don't know what the answer is apart from taking gender out of it completely.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Interesting topic of conversation.
It
anyway.
Is. Thanks, John. I appreciate it. And I wonder if there is someone who's... thank you very much for calling. I wonder if anyone who is better placed than us to have a conversation about this. I'd love to hear from you. What do you think? Because this sort of stuff gets thrown around by people sometimes, and I'm not suggesting that John did, who have an agenda, an anti-trans agenda, which is, you know, they're coming into pervert cis women and they're getting in situations where they can take advantage of the fact that they're given different different rights than people, other people who were born male. Do you know what I mean? And I just don't... I hate that. I hate that stuff. I really hate that stuff. But, you know, it's a conversation that keeps coming up. And I don't believe it's something that we've answered yet. And I don't believe we're in a situation where we have to start telling seven-year-old girls they might as well forget it, because sooner or later there's going to be a transgender female who's going to whoop their ass around the track. I don't believe that yet. But those conversations are floating about, aren't they? 0344 499 1000. Give me a shout. I'd love to hear from you.
The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
Better get to these phones. Flipping it, they're starting to mount up. 0344 499 1000 if you fancy a chat. I'm the right person to chat to. And you can talk about whatever you want. Hey, Simon.
Hi, Cabes. How are you?
Cabes?
I was just staying back for last night, that's all.
No, that's all right. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right. Before I start, can I just bring something up that I maybe shouldn't bring it up, but you can always bump me, I suppose.
Go on.
Why are they constantly playing the Jeremy Kyle advert when he hasn't been seen since before Christmas?
Because I don't know. I really don't know. But at some point he'll return and we'll all be grateful. Woo!
Just ridiculous. Anyway, lettuce.
Yes.
I was aware of the lettuce thing for insomnia. I suffer for myself, not all the time, but I go through phases. And I deal with it with prescription medication.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason for that being that, because I'm a driver, and I need to be able to guarantee that I'm going to get a good night's sleep. I mean, like I say, it only happens brief periods every now and then. But I often thought about trying the lettuce thing. So you say that works?
Yeah. Honestly, she made me this salad sandwich, right?
Yeah.
And it was lettuce. It was just all the green stuff. But I think lettuce is the main ingredient that you want. Really,
yeah,
really boring.
Yeah, because lettuce has got the property. That...
Yeah, exactly.
But the thing is...
But also, it's such a boring sandwich, you can hardly be bothered to finish it. And you might as well go to bed. But it worked a treat, and I don't know whether it was psychosomatic or what.
No, I don't know, because I've heard of that. I haven't got around to trying it. But what... The reason why I question it, and obviously if you're saying it works, it must work, but is you don't normally feel tired when you've had a salad, do you?
No, but don't you put other things with it?
Sorry, say again?
Don't you put other things with it, though?
Oh, I suppose, yeah.
So in this case, you're having, like, bread, so you've got your starchy carbohydrate, really boring salad stuck on top of it.
Yeah.
And you're just about to go to bed anyway. So I think it might just tip you over the edge.
I tell you what, I'm looking at changing my lifestyle because I'm hopefully moving flat soon, and I want to try and start again, lose a bit of weight and everything else.
Yeah.
And I'm slowly getting into healthier foods. And the one thing that I'm finding that is great is spinach, because the shop round the corner from me sells it in frozen, like, cubes.
Yeah.
And so I'm literally just chucking it in with everything.
I love it. I love spinach.
Yeah. It's amazing stuff.
Yeah, and it kind of... Because especially if you're not eating as much meat as you're used to, I get quite anemic and iron deficient, and spinach is brilliant for that.
Yeah, see, I've never ever considered what I eat. It's always whatever... Well, it's normally takeaways, to be honest. It's whatever... You know, closest to hand and easiest to get hold of.
Absolutely, and it's an easy trap to fall into, that, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and this is the thing is, this is going to sound like heaven to some people, but it isn't. It's hell. You know, most of my food, probably 80% of my diet, is handed to me through a window and is eaten out of a box or a bag.
Yeah.
Now, some people would be like, oh, that's amazing, but it isn't. It's awful.
Not every day. Not every day, no. I think, you know...
The other thing...
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. The other thing I was going to say was caffeine.
Yep.
Caffeine has no effect on me at all.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Try stopping it.
Well, I mean, I don't ever remember having any form of buzz or wake up from coffee or tea or Coke or whatever.
Yeah.
And there was one time where I was doing a night shift and I didn't know that caffeine was dangerous.
I put 7 teaspoons of coffee in this drink, thinking it'll keep me up all night.
Man, that is insane.
Again, didn't have any effect at all.
No, but that's because you probably got loads of it in your system. If you stop it, you'll be surprised at how ill you feel.
Yeah, maybe I'll give it a go when I try my new lifestyle. Before I go, your taste in music is absolutely bloody brilliant.
Oh, thanks.
I said a couple of weeks ago, I don't know whether you remember, that I'm not really into music.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the time, when Ian's playing a song, it's a case of, oh, just bear with it, it will stop in a minute. You know what I mean? But I love what you play. There was a song that you played a few weeks ago when you did the stint last, and
yeah.
It was Black Suit or something like that.
Oh, Burn the Black Suit, Juliet Turner.
Oh, I don't know what, but you just come out with gems, and it's brilliant. I love it.
Oh, I'm glad. I love her. I love her. I used to use her music when I worked on a different show, and we did different accents, and I had to learn a Northern Irish accent, and I found listening to her was really helpful. I probably couldn't do it now. But
I can imagine.
Yeah, but she's
great.
Have
you ever heard of a band called 07?
Yes.
What do you think of them?
It was kind of chill out music, wasn't it, back in the 90s?
Yeah.
It's a bit
real mellow.
Yeah. I don't know.
Different instruments and, I quite like them. I just like things that maybe sound a little bit different to the norm, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But, well, get on Juliet Turner, because she's amazing.
Well, hopefully not literally. Well, maybe literally, I don't know. Anyway, on that note.
Thanks very much, Simon.
The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle. Speech Radio with a difference. Talk Radio.
Hey, Paul.
Hello.
Hello.
Ah, Catherine. Young Catherine, from what I can tell. Catherine and Kate of Kate Hall. How have you been, darling?
I'm fine, thank you. Which Paul is this?
This is Paul Innocent.
Of course it is. How are you doing, Paul Innocent?
I'm not bad, darling. How are you?
Not bad at all. Long time no speak. How's the acting going?
Well, still, I know that virtue to be a new Brutus. Shakespeare's still at the top of the agenda.
Excellent.
Apart from that, still having to do the 9-to-5 grind. Ah! Oh! As they say. But apart, you know, I'm creeping along, slowly but surely getting there. Still working on an American screenplay to our feature film. Hoping to get that released sometime in the next 2 years. But anyway, how's Ian? I think he's not there.
He's not here. He's gone away with his boys for a week. I think he's probably listening. So, Ian, how are you? Oh, he says it's none of your business. But he's
all right,
having.
Ian,
I know for a fact he's having. I know for a fact he's having a good time, and obviously missing you like crazy, Paul Innocent.
Oh, I've missed him. My friend Sleep John B said to me, "Get back on the radio. They're missing you, Paul." So I thought to myself, "There's too much tonight." And that was it, really. So I've made them wait long enough.
Well, thank you for checking in. Thank you for checking.
I will say, before we leave, I was quite intrigued by the previous interview about her. It's very sad that she had the job, the interview before you managed to speak to her.
Yeah, because it does feel crappy having gone for it 4 times before, right? So she's been the 5th time and been turned down again.
I think that's awful. I mean, you know how I see it when it comes to audition? It's their loss.
Yeah.
It's not her loss, it's their loss. All right? So if she's listening, darling, it's their loss. You go for another job and say, screw you.
Well, all exactly. Right? I think 5 times is more than enough, don't you?
I think it's well over. I think after the second offer, they say 3 times lucky. Yeah. But the other two were just no. You know, it's ridiculous.
Move along. They don't know what they've got.
No matter what they've got, no matter what they're offering,
yeah.
It's not worth her losing that amount of dignity. She's a lovely girl by the sounds of it, you know, and I'm sorry to hear it went south, but, you know, it's 1 out of a billion opportunities, and it doesn't matter. It's infinitesimal.
This is right, and I think your advice is advice that's been well-earned over the years, because obviously as an actor, you've had your fair share of rejections.
Oh, you get it all the time, and you just have to say, well, it's your loss, mate. You know, you're looking for somebody with a difference. Chiseled the picture basically. Well, I forgot. I understand that, but there's a bigger job down the corner. It's going to be a hell of a lot better for me, a hell of a lot better in quality, financially, and all sorts of other things which are going to be great for me. So it's all the part of fate,
yeah.
You see.
Sound advice. Thanks, Paul.
Yeah. All right, kid. Tell you, and I'll send you my love, and I'll check in with you in a couple of weeks' time again. All
brilliant.
Right?
Thanks very much, Paul. Paul Innocent there. He's an actor, can you tell? Amy, I hope you were listening, because that was some brilliant advice there. Hello, Steve McEwen.
Hello there, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Now, Steve has been tweeting me about something really interesting that you're up to. It's happening tomorrow, is that right?
I'm up at probably 5 a.m. tomorrow morning after driving 2 hours back from the clinic
to home.
Okay.
So, yeah, it starts very early. We're starting from Eastbourne Pier. We're making our way all the way to Southampton over 4 days.
And this is a walk-in aid of Young Minds, is that right?
Young Minds, yes. Young people, partly because I believe this is where the most of the problems begin, they develop, and naturally I'm helping adults through it as well. So I'm not even sure who I'm going to get. That's going to be a...
Now, you're talking about who you're going to get, because you're not just walking. Cause people will be listening and going, oh, you know, people phone up all the time trying to get sponsorship for their walks and stuff.
Of course, no.
You're doing something a bit different.
Yes, I'm actually offering free therapy all the way. And my colleagues that are joining me are going to be offering informal therapy. So in other words, informal therapy, just talking to your friends and, you know, your local barber down the road. And obviously it's an aid of getting people to reduce the stigma that's associated to mental health and get people talking.
Okay.
It's a long one.
So what's the score? They'll be walking with you and you do, what, a therapist hour, which is, I believe, about 50 minutes?
Do you know what? You're absolutely right. It's about 50 minutes, but not my 50 minutes. I could be a lot longer than that. Usually I'm late. Usually it goes on, like today, I was absolutely late. I'm lucky I had an extra half an hour between to catch up. Uh-huh. But no, do you know what? Whoever turns up, they can walk with me for as long as their little legs will take them. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, I've sort of trained. You know, I do lots of deadlifts to try and cope. I'm worried about my hips, but at least I'm not going to turn in any corners just walking in a straight line. So I should be all right. I'm hopefully going to make it at the end.
How will they be able to spot you, Steve? Because I'm imagining there'll be some walkers who risk being given quite a lot of information they've not asked for if we're not careful.
Yeah. Do you know what? I'm hoping for a pilgrimage, so you should see us at a very long line. We'll be wearing yellow T-shirts. There's going to be four of us starting. There was going to be a few more, but some people have sort of chickened out, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, the thought of walking all that way. And having people come up that, you know, some of them, it's going to be quite tough because not everybody is equipped to be able to give sort of information and deal with. I mean, we've had conversations about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's quite hard dealing with a lot of that emotional tension that you almost pick up as you're speaking to people. And all that transference and dealing with emotion, it's quite tough. I'm looking forward to it, though. I mean, this is what I do.
Yeah. How long have you been a therapist, Steve?
About 16 years.
Blimey, really?
Yeah, a long time. Yeah, too long in some respects. But, I've gone from doing standardised sort of counselling to sort of training in everything. I get bored quite easily. So I've studied NLP. I've done psychoanalysis. That's my bag.
Right.
I do hypnosis. I think that all needs to be on the NHS. I think they provide, you know, the general problems in society now, I think they're trying to deal with, like trying to paint the Golden Boat Bridge with a toothbrush.
Yeah.
Then they're never going to solve the problem with the type of therapy they're offering at the moment, because everybody's different. Everybody needs a different approach.
Yeah, I was listening to Scroobius Pips. One of his latest podcasts is an interview with Johan Harry, who... Yeah. Was in the news last year because the short cut to what he was talking about in his book, it was called Lost Connections, was, oh, you know, antidepressants don't work. That's not what he's saying at all. He was saying that there's an over-reliance on the biological explanation for depression, and actually there are so many other factors in it. And instead of asking what's wrong with you, really people should be asking what happened to you.
Of course, yeah. I mean, you've got to look at development and, you know, the things that we experience in our cognition early on are the things that we create a filter through which we look at the rest of our life. And all we ever do is try and, you know, validate those experiences by anticipating in line with that. And that's what people are doing nowadays. And I think, you know, it will get worse. So it's partly to do with the internet. It's partly to do with social media.
Yeah.
Kids aren't being able to experience in the way that possibly you and I would have, you know. It's only, we're not talking a huge, you know, many, many decades. Mm-hmm. You're talking like 20 years. You know, kids can't climb trees anymore. You know, kids don't go up on the, you know, to local town centre or buy a bus. You know, I did that at the age of 10.
Yeah.
Nowadays, that would be seen as child neglect. Or at least my mum would report it to the DSS, you know.
Yeah.
Sort of. Nowadays, it's so much fear, and fear stops kids sort of developing cognition.
Right. The stat that they gave was, if you were a prisoner in a high security prison, you're entitled to 70 minutes fresh air every day, and kids aren't getting that.
Of course they're not. They're spending more time either on their phones or literally in their bedrooms playing the games.
Yeah.
I remember when I was younger, I used to get bored. I'd look out the window and wondering, you know, if I could go out.
The worst thing in the summer is if you got sent to bed early and you can hear all the other kids out on their bikes. But
yeah,
you know,
like 8 o'clock it is light.
But we're sounding like old farts now because things have moved on. But at the same time, you know, playing a computer game where you're having adventures isn't the same as actually having an adventure, is it?
Of course, no, of course not. You know, the cognition is something that is so important because it requires knowledge through thinking. You know, and that essentially, if that's being underdeveloped, you're getting someone that will have a cognitive disorder.
Right.
It's all about anticipation. You know, you anticipate certain circumstances, and that builds up our cognition. So therefore, you know, it becomes almost like a wiring system. You know, we know that certain scenarios will produce certain feelings, but a lot of kids nowadays, I mean, I'm talking 20-year-olds that are just leaving university and then thrown out in the big bad world, mm-hmm. and some grumpy old boss is shouting at them and they're feeling upset.
Right, because they've never been spoken to like that before.
Yeah, nowadays... It will change eventually, but I think there's a lot of investment that's needed, and there's a lot more to be done within society for that to change.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's just really unfortunate right now in the system.
Are people seeking out therapy more? Because it used to be a very American idea.
Yeah, I think people are. I think, you know, the more we, you know, put it out there, the more people are going to want therapy. And unfortunately, there'll be people jumping on board that will not necessarily be as bad as, you know, as someone else. So, you know, there are people that don't need it, and there's some people that really do need it. And because the people that really do need it are the ones that then, you know, are being left aside. And I think the problem is with the system is they only offer six sessions, and it's CBT.
Mm.
You know, and once you've done your six sessions, that's it. You know, you've got to find another route. And the problem is that the success rate is only 45% of what they're seeing, of the 15% of the population that their target was.
You get six sessions and 45, and it's helping 45%, which is amazing.
45%, but 45 of 15% of their target, 15% target.
Right.
So there's another 85% of people that have got problems that are not being seen,
yeah.
And over half of those people, under half of those 15%, are actually getting success.
Right.
That to me, if I was running at a 45% success rate, I wouldn't be in business.
No. And the other thing is that it means that people who can't afford to go private and to sort their own care out are just being left to flounder.
They are. You know, another six sessions. You have six sessions, and if you're bad enough, you might get to see a psychiatrist that will just stick you on drugs.
God.
I mean, you know, that's the state we're in. And do you know what? I see people that can afford to see me. I work in quite an affluent area, but, you know, there's some people that can barely afford it. And do you know what? You know, I see some people for free. I don't want to advertise that, but...
Yeah.
Occasionally I do,
yeah.
You know, because it is a very serious case. And sometimes it takes that little bit of effort. And this is why I'm doing this walk,
yeah.
Because I want to get out there and show that, you know, things can be done. You know, all right, I'm walking. There's only so much I can do. There's the skills that I can't, you know, get people in a certain perspective to be able to help them. But do you know what? I'm lending an ear. And, it's about getting people to understand that, you know, you can talk. You need to talk,
yeah.
Because otherwise, too much exposure to those feelings will do you not just mental damage, but physical damage.
Yeah, it's fascinating stuff. So remind us exactly where you'll be, and you can. And I'll let you plug your GoFundMe as well.
Yeah. So at 9 o'clock, I'll be at Eastbourne tomorrow. We will probably arrive at Brighton following day. So we'll sleep over. We get up at 9 o'clock, walk from Brighton Pier all the way to Littlehampton, sleep over the night. Get up in the morning at 9 o'clock again from Littlehampton Pier all the way to Havant, sleep the night, get up, and we'll be walking from Havant town centre all the way to Southampton. So it's going to be a right old trek. it really is. And to be, like I said, I don't know what I'm going to get. We're walking through some real horrible hotspots.
Yeah.
I know that Ian Lee's in Southampton somewhere. Peppa Pig World. I saw a video of him yesterday.
He was in Peppa Pig World. He might need some therapy after that, to be honest.
Tell him to pop along. I'll sort him out.
Well, actually, we're going to be in Brighton on Saturday, but I don't know whether our hours will coincide. We'll see.
Whereabouts are you Saturday night? Because I've got John Gooden coming along with me and Phil Berman. UFC MMA commentator presenter.
Oh wow!
We could probably meet you up. My mum and dad are coming as well. They're our support vehicle.
Saturday night we're going to be doing a podcast at the Carolina Brunswick. pub in Brighton.
Carolina.
Brunswick.
Will you put that on your tweet?
Yeah.
And then I'll maybe we'll head along. We'll be able to get in.
Or you can give us
a name on the door.
You can give us a ring and tell us what you've been up to if you want as well.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'll give you a ring. Maybe I'll do that tomorrow night if you're about. Yeah, so you're actually doing that tomorrow night? Sorry.
No, we're doing Saturday night. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, well, I might ring in tomorrow night as well say hi. I might get John to maybe call in as well, so we can all have a chat.
And let us know how you get on. All right, that'd be groovy.
So you're still alive.
What's your GoFundMe? It's GoFundMe.com?
It is GoFundMe.com / actually, I've even forgot it, you know. The walking-therapist.
Beautiful.
So it's a long one, but you can find it. If you type in Steve McEwen walk, you'll probably find that a lot easier.
All right, brilliant. Well, good stuff, Steve, and I wish you all the luck in the world with it.
Thank you very much, and all the best for your show tonight.
Yeah, I'll speak to you later. Thanks very much, Steve.
No problem. Thanks very much. Cheers.
Steve McEwen. Bit of free therapy. You'll have to walk for it, but you won't be paying for it. 03444991000 if you want to give me a ring. I'm going to speak to Paul after the break, and then it could be you.
The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle. Speech Radio with a difference. Talk Radio.
Now, I'm not usually bothered about the Rolling Stones, but I think that's a belter, don't you? All right, you can pack that in. 03444991000. I'm Catherine Boyle. I'm standing in for Ian Lee. He'll be back as usual on Monday. And in the meantime, we can talk about whatever you want. As usual, don't worry about that. 03444991000 is the number. Now, before the news, we started talking about this Joe Biden story. And I find it really fascinating that someone can get to the age of 76 and then give an apology like that, all kind of woke, and I've realised that things have changed, without really realising that things have changed until you're 76. Have you ever hugged someone that doesn't want to be hugged? You can tell, right? If you're kissing someone that works for you in a junior capacity and they're not kissing you back, you know that they don't want it, right? So how can you get to that point in your life where you have to make a public statement like that? Which, by the way, I don't think was an apology. It was kind of, oh, I see things have changed, but I'm someone who does this. And almost like his positive actions have been misunderstood and actually people should be grateful for them. Maybe I'm over-egging this. Maybe I am. Let's have another listen to it. Because it seems like his tone and everything seem kind of conciliatory, but it's not, is it? Here you go. Oh, hang on. Aretha's getting involved now. Shush. Aretha, this is not the time or place, although I hate to say shush to Aretha. Right, here we go.
In the coming month, I expect to be talking to you about a whole lot of issues, and I'll always be direct with you, but today I want to talk about gestures of support and encouragement that I've made to women and some men that have made them uncomfortable.
Gestures of support and encouragement, which, according to the allegations, include kissing you on the neck.
And I always tried to be, in my career, I've always tried to make a human connection. That's my responsibility, I think. I shake hands, I hug people, I grab men and women by the shoulders and say, you can do this. And
isn't that nice of him?
And whether they're women, men, young, old, it's the way I've always been. It's the way I've tried to show I care about them and I'm listening. And over the years, knowing what I've been through, the things that I've faced, I've found that scores, if not hundreds of people have come up to me and reached out for solace and comfort, something, anything that may help them get through the tragedy they're going through. And so it's just who I am. And I've never thought of politics as cold and antiseptic. I've always thought it about connecting with people. As I said, shaking hands, hands on the shoulder, a hug, encouragement. And now it's all about taking selfies together. Social norms have begun to change. They've shifted. And the boundaries of protecting personal space have been reset.
Have they, or have women just started saying, do you know what, I don't like that?
I get it.
Do you?
I hear what they're saying. I understand it. And I'll be much more mindful. That's my responsibility. My responsibility, and I'll meet it. But I always believe governing, quite frankly, life for that matter, is about connecting with people. That won't change. But I will be more mindful and respectful of people's personal space.
Okay.
And that's a good thing.
Yep.
That's a good thing. I've worked my whole life to empower women. I've worked my whole life to prevent abuse. I've written, and so the idea that I can't adjust to the fact that personal space is important, more important than it's ever been, is just not thinkable. I will. I will.
Here's what I think, right? He's 76, and he, by his own admission, has been a touchy, tactile sort of person for his whole political career.
People haven't felt able to say anything to him, although there's this is three women, apparently, who've spoken to the Washington Post on Wednesday, bringing to seven the number of women who've publicly voiced their objections to physical behaviour by Biden as he weighs a presidential bid. Vail Connett Yunt says that she was a White House intern in 2013 when Biden was vice president under the then President Barack Obama. She was exiting the basement of the West Wing when she was asked to step aside to make way for Biden, who came over to greet her, shook her hand. He then put his hand on the back of my head and pressed his forehead to my forehead while talking to me. I was so shocked that it was hard to focus on what he was saying. I remember he told me I was a pretty girl. The former intern said she was uncomfortable and embarrassed by Biden's comments about her appearance, even though it was intended as a compliment, and she believed his intentions are good, right? I do not consider my experience to have been sexual assault or harassment, she said, but it was the kind of inappropriate behaviour that makes many women feel uncomfortable and unequal in the workplace. And then they talk about the video. Sophie Karasek said she met Biden after the Oscars in 2016, where she'd been part of a group of sexual assault survivors who appeared on stage. Biden clasped her hands and placed his forehead against hers, a scene that was photographed at the time. Karasek told the Post she felt awkward and uncomfortable, although she appreciated Biden's support. She said in his latest video, he still didn't take ownership in the way that he needs to. Third woman, Ali Cole, said she met Biden when she was a Democratic staffer during the 2008 presidential campaign. He squeezed her shoulders and complimented her smile, and Cole said he held her for a beat too long. There's been a lack of understanding about the way that power can turn something that might seem innocuous into something that can make somebody feel uncomfortable, she said. Biden also has prominent defenders, including female political leaders who've said his physical greetings and gestures of support were well-intentioned and employed with both men and women, and touted his strong record on women's rights. Your thoughts on that? Because I'm going to lay my cards on the table. I've worked in an environment where someone was overly tactile and a space invader, did nothing I could report or would have reported. I shrugged it off. People laughed about it because he would kind of come in and isolate me in a way by sort of putting his chair too close to mine. He'd put his back to everyone else. It would be something that it was obvious to everyone else, and they thought it was funny because he was a much older person and I was clearly squirming. Why didn't I say anything? The same reason a lot of these women didn't raise it before, probably, because you're hoping the moment will pass and you kind of do this mental maths. Is it worth causing a fuss? Does he mean it? Probably not. But then they get to the age of 76 and they've been doing this the whole time and someone pulls the plug on it and they say that they never realised what they were doing was out of order. 03444991000. You kind of know, though, when you're hugging someone that they don't like it. I mean, Matt, what do you think about this one?
Yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it? I mean, obviously, as a bloke, I've got no deep insight into how it feels to be on the receiving end of this kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
I know that following the whole Brett Kavanaugh thing, I'm really sorry, I can't remember the name of the woman that was accusing him of...
Yeah.
What seemed to be very credible allegations that he and his friends had assaulted her.
Yeah.
And yet she was just completely dismissed and he was appointed to the Supreme Court anyway.
And also, don't you think it's interesting, Dr. Christine Blasey Ford being accused of looking for publicity and no one can remember her name, now it's over.
I know, it's crazy, isn't it? And I hope that's not just... I hope that is just my ageing brain and not the fact that she's already been cast aside. Mm. The thing with Biden is, and slightly devil's advocate here, is that all these initial allegations of him being too touchy-feely kind of started surfacing around the time that all the allegations coming out against Trump when he was still a candidate.
Right.
and they started, the Republican, you know, supporters started posting still photos taken from videos of him in various situations in the White House, greeting people and apparently, you know, holding them up close to him and sniffing their hair. And this big allegation that he was a hair sniffer.
Yeah, one woman saying he sniffed her hair and kissed her neck. Now, kissing someone's neck is very intimate, isn't it?
Yeah, it's wrong. It's wrong. And if he did do that, and there's no reason to doubt he did, then, yeah, he's absolutely wrong to have done that. And I think you're right. I think that there is a sense that he's an old bloke who's gone through his life without ever being pulled up on this stuff, and he's suddenly realised, hang on, you know, I can't get away with it anymore. And he didn't, he wasn't, I mean, it's horrible to say, sufficiently contrite,
right,
given, you know, this kind of this sense that everyone's got to be sorry for everything these days. But, you know, I think he did.
It was the idea that things have changed. I don't think things have changed. I think he's just been made aware of his behaviour.
No, I think that there's a much greater awareness amongst the public as a whole that this stuff is real.
Mm-hmm.
I think until fairly recently, until the last few years, there's always been an underlying sense, and I think most people have kind of said that, you know, have believed it, but there's been this underlying kind of, I don't know how to put it, this current of steering people away from believing these allegations are real, and that it's hysterical women and
yeah,
blah, blah, blah.
Here's
and
the thing. I think women have been saying it for a long time, but now there is kind of a movement whereby women are banding together.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, I mean, that's obviously a power for good. And you know, absolutely, that should continue. I just worry that people like Joe Biden, who I personally believe, deep down, putting his behaviour around females aside, if you can,
mm-hmm.
is a very decent bloke and is a very honest politician. I there is an element of me as well, because I don't like Trump. I don't believe he is a trustworthy moral person, and I don't like the idea that he can post the video that he posted today on Twitter, basically taking the mickey out of Biden.
Oh yeah, I mean, he needs to sit down throwing stones.
Sexual assault against him. He's also been accused of raping his first wife.
Exactly.
You know, you kind of think, you know, he muddies the waters. But it's important that we don't dismiss allegations against other people because they're not Trump.
Yeah.
Because
Here's the thing. They could all be true. They could all be true.
Yeah,
and it could also be true, like you say, that otherwise he's a stand-up guy and maybe he's just, all the way through his life, behaved in a certain way and no one's pulled him up about it before.
The key thing is that I don't think he's a pervert. I don't think he's a pervert. I don't think he's done anything for sexual gratification. I could be wrong about that, but my personal belief is that he hasn't. My personal belief is that Trump and others, including people in the Republican Party, I think for some reason Al Franken springs to mind, although there is something nagging at me telling me that was set up as well, but it probably wasn't. But people like Trump and others like of his ilk who have surrounded themselves with sexual predators and who are, by all accounts, although it has to be stated that it's an allegation and not proven, are sexual predators of the sort that treat women as objects and as targets. And if they can be seen to almost get away with the behaviour that they've committed in the past because this guy now touched a woman's shoulder or did something inappropriate.
Yeah.
I really worry that it takes the focus off the real danger and the real issue, that there are still people, normally white men, normally sort of in the older generation still, but it was, you know, even in my generation, I'm 45, and there are absolutely men of my age who objectify women and they treat them as targets and as you know, as people to be subjugated and to be conquered.
Yeah.
And I don't think Biden is one of those. I don't think he ever has been.
Moving away from the men and their behaviour.
Yeah.
It adds to the kind of slow drip of behaviour that leads to an atmosphere whereby women don't get on the same as men professionally. For example, I know that there are congressmen in Washington who will not allow female aides to be seen out with them at social occasions and won't ride in cars with them, won't do certain things where they're one-on-one for whatever reason. Yeah. And I can see why, actually, you know, in this sort of environment where they are concerned about people smearing them for political reasons, because it's nasty at the moment. It is nasty out there, but
yeah,
it has to be said, nothing like that seems to have happened yet. But what it means is the male aides are Johnny on the spot the whole time? The women get held back professionally.
It's not just congressmen. Look, Mike Pence won't allow himself to be in a room with another woman unless his wife is there.
Yeah.
And that's a religious thing. And I think a lot of people use their supposed religious beliefs to kind of excuse this misogynist behaviour.
Yeah.
But yeah, I absolutely agree. And then you look at the way that people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez are treated by the Republican Party, because she's a woman and she's young, she must therefore be worthless and an idiot.
Oh, exactly. She's not entitled to her opinion yet because she's not a mother, she's not old enough, but she's an incredibly impressive person.
She's amazing. I mean, if either of my sons are as eloquent and determined and brave as she is, when they're her age, I'll happily go to my grave knowing I've done everything I possibly could to have raised them as the best people they could possibly be. But there are people that don't see that, people that see her because she's female, because she's young. Mainly because she's female, I think, because if she was young and male, I don't think she'd get an eighth of the stick she gets.
Here's the thing we're also missing out. She's very attractive.
Yeah, that's true. But I think if she wasn't, she'd probably get an even worse time because then people would be posting memes about her looking like whatever.
Yeah, let's look at young Hillary Clinton. The way people talked about her until she had a, makeover, blue stocking, serious woman, she's got no sense of humour, all that sort of stuff. They don't talk about men like that.
Obama, because she's black, there's a lot of racists who say, automatically because she's female and black and therefore must be ugly. And then you get all these horrible people posting these memes of her being raised by apes in the jungle or whatever. It's vile.
Yeah.
And it is, as you say, it is a hideous situation at the moment where this sort of stuff, and it's always been there to a certain extent, there's always been this kind of underlying current of hatefulness, but it's really come to the fore recently in the last few years, under Trump mainly, but people like Farage and Boris Johnson, who also say horrible things about people that they consider to be lesser humans.
Yeah, it's got playground. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. But coming back to the issue of, women and not wanting to be implicated in anything and avoiding being in women's company and stuff, it's very strange to me. When you look at the number of allegations that are proven to be made maliciously or falsely, they are minuscule compared to the number of allegations which are found to be true. And yet you don't find women not giving men the benefit of the doubt when it comes to working, because you just have to crack on with it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very much a weighted situation. There's no equality at all, and I don't think there will be for a long time, unfortunately. I mean, I think it's gradually, very, very slowly moving in sort of the right direction, but it's still very much seen that women, particularly in politics, but also still in business, that there is this sense that they are somehow less capable, less worthy of listening to.
Exactly. Is it so difficult to work out that if you wouldn't say it to a bloke, you shouldn't say it to a woman that you work with?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, or if you wouldn't say it to somebody to their face, you shouldn't say it in an email to somebody about somebody else, or in a tweet, or particularly in work situations where emails get sent around about the new temp or that girl who works in marketing, or whatever.
Yeah.
You wouldn't say it to her face, so don't say it behind her back.
Yeah. And how would you feel if they said it about your sister or your mum or your daughter? Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, maybe I've got no idea. I live a very sheltered existence, but maybe the same thing happens with attractive blokes that come to work in companies, and the girls will start emailing around. But I don't know. But even if that was the case, I don't think that it would be seen as such a big deal. I'm contradicting myself there, because everything ought to be treated as the same issue, that you're denigrating somebody on the basis of an attribute that doesn't have any bearing on their ability to do their job.
Yeah, you're reducing them to a body, basically.
Yeah, which has never happened to me because I'm fat and ugly and, it doesn't bother me. But
you sound delightful, Matt. Would you mind if I put my forehead against yours?
Just don't kiss my neck.
That is a weird one, though. I'm sorry. I can kind of bear with the rest, maybe touching someone's shoulder when you're talking, being tactile like that, but kissing someone's neck is,
I've been in situations where I've leant in to give someone a kiss on the cheek and I might have kissed slightly further back, like round the ear, which could be considered to be kissing their neck, and that's just because I'm awkward. But, but if he did lean down and sort of nuzzle into the crook of her neck, then that is weird.
No. Anyway, Matt, was that what you rang up for?
It wasn't actually.
Go on, then.
But I'm conscious that I'm taking up time that could be better served by other people talking.
Oh, it's only Darren. He'll hang on. He won't mind.
Okay. Well, I'll keep it quick. It's a sort of a devil's advocate kind of thing. I saw something on Twitter just a little while ago about, it's quite a soppy story, that a girl had written a Mother's Day card to her mother who died last year.
Yeah.
And posted it. And then a post worker found the letter and replied as if he was her mum. And my automatic response was, why?
Yeah.
Don't do that. Don't tell kids that. The whole thing was, I'm looking down on you and watching over you for all your life. And I find that really disturbing. I find the idea that kids should be told that there's some supernatural presence watching their every single move is really worrying. And I just say, I assume that other people will feel completely differently and think I'm some sort of evil monster.
I felt a bit uncomfortable about it. I read that and I thought, that's taking a little bit of a gamble, isn't it, on what the situation is at home.
Yeah, and it's taking a massive liberty by pretending to know what that girl's relationship was. I mean, obviously the girl and her mum had a loving relationship, otherwise she wouldn't have written a Mother's Day card to her dead mum.
And it seems to have gone down well, it has to be said.
It does seem to have gone down very well, which is why I was, wondering whether I should raise it or not, but I thought, well...
No, but I know what you mean. When I read it, I did think, oh, I don't know. I don't know. That does seem to be... That, like I say, it's a gamble. It's a real gamble. And
My kids are 9 and 12, and I haven't made a point of kind of going on and on about it, but they are aware that my belief is that when you're dead, you're dead.
Mm.
And there is no afterlife. There is nothing after this. Just live life for the now and do what you do the right thing because you want to do the right thing, not because you're worried if you don't, you'll go to hell, because there is no hell.
Mm.
And I'm sure that flies in the face of many people's beliefs. My ex-wife's partner is apparently sort of a reasonably... not devout, but believes in some that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously we'll be having a different conversation around that, and I do slightly worry about being seen to be deliberately contentious rather than actually telling them what I really believe. But I really do believe that there is nothing after this, and that my dad died very young. He died 10 years ago. He was only 60.
Mm-hmm.
And if I thought he was looking down on me now, I'd just be like, oh God, I really hope he's judging me. My brother is a hugely successful chartered accountant, and I'm just this kind of dweeby little photographer in a flat in Manchester. And I just think, I wouldn't want my kids to be thinking after I've gone that I'm looking down and going, don't do that, or don't touch yourself there. Or that sort of thing, it's disturbing to me.
I know what you mean. And I'm sure your dad wouldn't ever think you were just anything. But I know what you're talking about. The other thing is, right, if that kid is anything like mine, right, my youngest daughter is 7 and she's been writing to the fairies recently.
Mm.
And the fairies write back because I have a word with them, if you know what I mean. But that girl has just got a letter through the post from her dead mother. If she's anything like my daughter, there'll be another letter. And what if that doesn't get replied to?
Well, yeah, I hadn't even thought about that, but that's true. Yeah, that's a horrible thing, isn't it? Because then she's got a hope that she believes it, and she's hopeful that she's going to have this correspondence that suddenly stops. It's going to be a bit...
It'd be heartbreaking.
Yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to raise it as a talking point, and I'm going to go away now. But
thanks, Matt.
Thank you for putting up with me. Cheers.
Good chats. 03444991000. Darren, I'm going to come to you in a second.
The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle. Speech Radio with a difference. Talk Radio.
Oh yes, that'll do, won't it? 03444991000. But don't phone me if you don't like Kate Bush, because I will not be wanting to have a conversation with you. I think it's a fine thing to get someone who is that brilliant, and if you don't, then I fear for you. I really do. Let's have a quick word with Mark. Hello, Mark.
Good evening.
Are you all right?
How are you?
I'm all right.
I'm good. I've just finished my shift.
Have you?
Yeah.
You sound a bit floppy, Mark. You're knackered.
A little bit, but it's worth it in the long run to see what we do for people.
Of course it is. Mark, in case anyone's new to the show or missed Mark's phone calls, Mark, you're a carer that stays over, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to call you to say well done for this week.
Oh, thanks.
You've been amazing.
Blimey. Thanks very much. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, you have. You've just kind of took it by the balls, let's say.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, all right. Thanks very much, Mark. I appreciate
it's
it.
Right. How's Nigel getting on?
Nigel... OK, so Nigel was supposed to go to a food bank and then yesterday he couldn't find it. So I've sent him a map. People have been trying to help him out on Twitter and I know that he was going to go to the MP who sorted out his referral today and his office were going to make sure he got there. So I'm hoping that we might get some good news from it's Nigel.
It's really frustrating hearing the way he's kind of been treated.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet it is, especially when you work within, you know, the caring profession.
And we work with people with less needs than what he's clearly got as well, which is really frustrating.
Really?
When there's people out there like Nigel who need that support, who just, it seems, can't get that support.
Yeah, well, the thing is, he can't advocate for himself, so he's never been assessed, it would appear. He doesn't remember being assessed, and I'm told that you would remember.
Yeah, but
and
it depends, really.
Yeah, well, see, social services, apparently he's not on their books as someone who has got learning difficulties because he's not had an assessment.
Really?
Well, the guy from the council, I think he either got mixed up or there was mixed messages or something. He told me that social services had checked him out and found that he didn't have learning difficulties. And I said, are you sure? Are you sure? Because, you know, 5 minutes in, and you know that he's quite confused about a lot of things and that he sees the world differently.
Nigel that we listen to on a daily basis.
I know, but bless him.
It's,
so
it's crazy.
So basically the council, I was assured that social services were aware of him, but they're treating him kind of the same as they treat any 60 plus.
Uh-huh.
And we know that he needs more than that.
See, so, that's the problem as well when they live at home with the parents for all their many years and then all of a sudden they disappear. They just kind of get lost in the system, I suppose.
Yeah, I've heard that before. You know, they get really looked after by their families and the families don't ask for help during that time. And so they're not on the radar.
But, it's a shame because he seems really nice.
Yeah. I mean, and he's vulnerable. So, thankfully, the MP's stepped up and she's sorted out a referral to a food bank.
She's been good.
Yeah, and she's also sorted out a local charity who are going to advocate for him when it comes to his financial affairs.
Well,
and hopefully
good.
They can sort
that's
out, because that's a worry, that.
Yeah. Ian's been really good, though, with that stuff, what he's done with him.
Yeah. Well, you can't...
He didn't even think twice. He just did it while he was talking the second time, which was amazing.
Well... You would, though, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I suppose.
You can't... I think you can't have a conversation with someone... I mean, we talk to Nigel a lot, and we've been speaking... We've got a relationship that's built up over years, and although we don't really know each other, when someone is in that amount of trouble, you can't just go, well, thanks very much for the fun times, bye-bye.
Uh-huh. Oh, just to let you know, that relationship that I got into...
Oh, yeah.
...ended.
Oh, no, Mark. What happened, if you don't mind me asking?
Basically, the lad had autism.
Right.
And people with... Now, that's not why I still... People really struggle to show him.
Right.
Relationship with emotions is a very hard relationship.
Oh, you're breaking up. Go back to where you were. I'm on tenterhooks. Flipping it. They've broken up. He's broken up. We're all breaking up. 03444991000. If you want to give me a ring tonight, we can talk about all sorts. As you heard, I mean, Mark started us off there. Just give me a call. You can do that. Thanks very much to the person whose phone number ends 4975. Glad you're enjoying the show too. They're not. They're being horrible. We've got loads to talk about. I'm about to. Hang on. Is Mark back? Hey, Mark.
Hi, I don't know what happened. You just went beep, beep, beep.
Yeah, I know. You broke up, then you went beep, beep, beep.
Oh, I do apologise.
No, it's all right. I can hear you now. So go on, what happened? This lad had autism.
And it just got a bit difficult because people with autism don't tend to show emotion or don't kind of tend to show how they're feeling. So I kind of got into my head that he just wasn't interested. And then it all just kind of went downhill.
Oh, blimey.
Oh, well, never mind.
Are you all right, though?
Yeah, I'm really good. I'm concentrating on the work. There's a promotion coming up, so I'm concentrating on trying to get that.
All right, good. Well...
So that's really good. But
Yeah, all I called up to say is you've done amazing this week and Ian seems to be having a really good time off.
He is having a really good time off. He's absolutely shattered, though, so I know for a fact he went to bed early today.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've followed you both on Twitter. That thing that you posted earlier about that bear... I don't know if it's bear walking.
Which one?
That, a sassy walk.
Oh, right, yeah.
Cartoon. And I did tweet back to you yesterday, is that the way you walk into the studio?
Natch. Every single time. And then I crawl out by the end. Anyway, all Mark.
Right, thank you, Catherine.
I wish you better luck with your love life.
Fine.
But, yeah, you know, boys, who needs them?
I know. Maybe I should just try and turn straight, as people think.
03444991000. Take care, Mark. If you want to give me a ring, like I say, you can do that. It's absolutely no problem. Tomorrow, I've got to be up early because I'm taking my eldest daughter to school with a suitcase and packing her off for 10 days. And I'm fine about it. It's fine. Yeah, it's fine. She's going abroad. It's fine. I'll just have one child in the house and it will be fine. And she's 10 and that's a perfect age to not be going to bed in her little top bunk and cuddling up to her toy and being abroad and being on her own. It's fine. But just in case, I have written her a letter, which is normal, isn't it? I've written her a letter to put in her suitcase when I get in tonight. And I've been really cool. I've played it so cool. She will never know that I'm gutted. She will never know. My darling, sweet angel baby girl. By the time you read this, you'll be far away having had a little cry on the coach because you're going to miss your darling mum so very much. But then you'll find your DS and your sweets and it will be all mum who. Good. I want you to have a wonderful time, experience new things, try food that looks horrible and feel the wind in your hair as you whoosh down snowy mountains, assuming, of course, that the wind can find its way through all the knots because I know very well you won't brush that barnet the whole time you're away. Doesn't really matter. The point is, the world is at your feet, and your feet are going to be going very fast in those skis. She's going skiing, which sounds like she's a posh kid. She's not a posh kid. We just saved up. Yeah, so your feet are going to be going very fast in those skis once you learn to stay upright, and it's going to be brilliant. There are, however, some rules I wish you to obey while you're away, so please take a look at them now and make me a solemn promise. 1. I have sent you away with a full set of working limbs. Please return them to me in the same state. 2. You have enough clean pants and socks to wear a fresh pair every day. Please do so. Your roommates can thank me later. 3. The mountains are the white pointy things. The ends of the mountains are see-through. Stay on the white pointy things. 4. Take lots of pictures, but don't worry if you don't capture everything. Just bring me back some stories. 5. No tattoos. Oh, and have fun, be kind, and don't get arrested. Seriously, Dad and I will miss you terribly and will do our best to stop your sister turning your room into a nightclub. But no promises. We love you very much. Mum. That's going in her suitcase. That's fine, isn't it? I sounded cool. I sounded like I wasn't bothered. Be fine. You'll be absolutely fine. Hi, Amy.
Hi, yeah, are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. Not weepy at all.
Oh, bless you.
It will be fine. I say that to myself an awful lot, especially when it comes to children. Anyway, Amy, I hear you've got work thoughts.
Yeah, just after a bit of advice, really.
Go on.
Just obviously, you saw my tweet.
Mm-hmm.
I went for a role and I've applied for it 5 times and still haven't got it.
And is it the same place you work at, I take it?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. And there's always been like a mixture of feedback and a mixture of reasons, and I've worked on them and then new ones pop up.
Yeah.
So I think it's probably time to give up on that role. But I just wanted, you know, some advice on, you know, when you're kicked back like that, you know.
Yeah.
And it's been so long and so often.
Do you think that they're giving you a fair shout, or do you think that they're finding excuses?
They're finding excuses.
Right. And what kind of people are being sort of promoted above you?
It's been a mixture. I don't really know how to explain.
Are they people who you think do something different from you? Are they older than you?
No, well, we've all sort of been around the same age.
Right.
They're not people that I would aspire to be, which is what I think, you know, as you progress within a business, you should be someone that people aspire to.
Yeah.
And I've never sort of ever had that.
All right. Is it more of a management-y type thing then?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Well, I think you go in. And here's the deal. I feel like you've already got one foot out the door if they mess you around again. Is that where you are in your head?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so go in and see what they're going to do for you.
Okay.
And say, you know, I've been working here for a long time. Give them reasons why you would be brilliant for it, of course. I mean, standard, you've done this, how many times? 5 times you've gone for this.
Yeah.
And say, really, it's a matter of, this is the 6th time I've offered myself for this role. I feel like I'd be brilliant for it, blah, because of this. And, I think I'm a credit to whatever organisation it is. And go in with that. Here's what Ian and I have learned to do and how we got this job here. We came in and we kind of pretended to be people who were great at interviews. So rather than being kind of modest and stuff, lay it out there. You know, talk about yourself the way your friend would talk about you.
Okay.
Because my tendency would be to not want to come across as big-headed. But you've got, you know, 2 minutes to make a good impression. They say probably less than that, I would imagine. Go in there like, finally, I'm here, guys. You know, without being too like an apprentice candidate, you know, like I'm a show pony in a field of tiny ones, or that kind of thing. Don't come up with any of that crap. Don't be someone that you're completely not, but just go in knowing that you're good enough.
Okay.
And have in the back of your mind, do you know what? If this doesn't work this time, I've got plan B. And that self-assurance should make you feel a little bit better about it.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's true. Thank you.
But know that those people that got it before you were no better than you, so...
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So what's the deal there?
Yeah, true, that's right.
And, you know, if you don't get it, do you really want to work for people who would mess you about to that extent? There's that thing as well.
Yeah, that's true.
So when is your interview?
Well, it's been and happened.
All right.
So it was the 5th time, and then it was a no.
Right. And it's already been no already?
Yeah.
Oh, so that's it? You haven't got another one?
No.
Oh, I completely misunderstood. Oh. All right. So ask them exactly what happened, because you deserve to know where you've gone wrong.
Mm.
And I think, maybe it's time for plan B now.
Okay.
Because what more can you do? If they're determined not to let you move up, then what's the point?
Yeah, you're right.
Screw those guys.
Thank you, lovely.
Well, I'm sorry I didn't get you before the interview.
Oh, no.
Although it sounds like they don't know what they've got, so...
Oh, bless your heart.
Never mind. Well, listen, Amy, let me know how you get on, won't you?
Yeah, no, I will. Thanks, Kath.
Take care. Oh, 03444991000. Give me a shout if you want to talk about anything, as you've heard there. We'll cover whatever. And I'm fine about tomorrow morning. I'm absolutely fine.